from the Morongo Casino Studios, it's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Los Angeles.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on Thursday, March 15th. Welcome to the show. Got a lot of stuff to give away, so got some Sabroso tickets to give away. Also, a trip to Vegas to see Incubus at the Hard Rock. Also, some Wart tour tickets. Big show planned today. We're going to have F My Life. Yes, F My Life is back. Also, Making Babies in a Lab. And finally, Accidental Nudity Face-Off. We can get to all that after traffic.
Traffic Report is being brought to you by...
Now... Back to Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Nonstop for the next 40 minutes.
On 95.5 KLOS.
It's all gone to hell and I can't see the light. Call up and bitch and you might win a prize for the worst story told on F My Life.
Some of you have a terrible, terrible life you're living. We're looking for the worst of the worst. We're going to take a few and find... So if you have a terrible story, we'll keep you on and see which is the absolute worst in round one.
Yeah.
Let's hear from you. Line one, Rob. Morning, Rob.
Morning, guys. I hate to say it, but I could beat it. And unfortunately, my story is all true. It started probably about 3 weeks ago. My buddy's 14-year-old son passed away on a quad, ran into a wall. The next day, my father was having chemo, came down with pneumonia, was in the hospital for 5 days. He's now living with me. I'm trying to heal him back. He's not doing good at all. And my ex-wife married my ex-buddy, which that's kind of a good thing because she's a POS.
Uh-huh.
But now she's coming after my house, and she's trying to get $125,000 out of me. My kids live with me basically 80% of the time, and I'm asking her to have a heart. If I have to sell the house, the kids are, you know, they're going to have to live in an apartment with me. So,
hey, Rob.
It's pretty bad. Yeah.
Oh, wah.
I mean, that's a good one, though. That's a lot that's going horrible. On in Rob's life.
My God.
And I usually have an amazing life, and this is just, this just brings me back to reality, I think.
Is there a silver lining in this anywhere? Maybe you could say things can't possibly get worse.
Well, his ex-wife got remarried, so there was no more alimony payments.
Oh, there we go.
You asked me.
Oh, yeah, something. I'm going after her for alimony and child support, so there's my silver lining.
Good. All right, Rob, you're definitely in the running. I'm sorry to hear all that, but all right. Maybe you win a prize.
That's a tough almighty. One to beat. That's pretty good.
Jeez, came to play. Okay, line two, Anna. Morning, Anna.
Good morning, guys.
Did you hear the tale of Rob?
Hi. Well, my story kind of really sucks. I've been sick for about 5 years, and it's just getting worse.
What are you sick with?
Endometriosis.
Okay.
I don't know if you know what that is.
No.
But
what is it?
It's really bad. It just, your cycle gets to the point where you are hemorrhaging and your pains are so terrible that you vomit and it's just...
Girl problems, yeah. Frosty.
I mean, it really, it's like a disability and it sucks. On top of it, I had a procedure done in May thinking it was going to help. It didn't. My son got diagnosed with an acroid cyst, which is really bad. It's a cyst that develops from birth. And
where's that? Where is it on him?
It's inside the head, inside next to the brain.
If it explodes,
he can end up paralyzed or having seizures. So I'm really, you know, affected by that. He's 16.
Mm.
And on top of it, after, you know, trying to, you know, be with my boyfriend as long as I could and, you know, helping him find work and everything I've gone through with him.
Unemployed boyfriend.
So.
Anna, can I ask you, are you having a good hair day?
Where's the silver lining?
Okay, Anna, you're in the running. Good luck. Jeez.
Well, she went up against, how are we doing this? So she went up against Rob. Does she beat Rob, or are we just going to hear them all and then decide?
They're all still in the running. We'll take two more.
Okay.
And then in the first round of four, we'll decide which is the worst of the
two,
first four.
So far, I'm feeling pretty good about my life, aren't you?
Tough to see. Yeah, feeling great.
Good
no complaints.
Lord. Mm-mm.
Line three is Sean, just taking these calls the order they came in. Sean, hello. Tell us about your life.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, great. So on this end.
How about you?
How about you?
Well, it turns out that back in April, my wife and I went down to Belize because we were interested in moving down there. So we found a piece of property, came back, and went to go get my annual physical. And it turns out that I had kidney failure. Both my kidneys were operating at less than 10%, and all the doctors were confused why I was even basically walking or alive. And so we went in there, did the biopsy, which ended up 1% of the population that gets a biopsy does internal bleeding. And I had internal bleeding for almost 2 liters of blood. And then it turns out that it took them about a week. I became a case study because they couldn't figure out what was wrong. And I ended up having this rare genetic disease that gave me seizures as well, which also affects all of my family. So now my four sisters and my 2 brothers and my 4 aunts and all of their kids all have to get tested for this rare disease. And there's only one pharma company that offers the infusion, so I'll have to get infusions every 2 weeks for the rest of my life. Go ahead.
Is that all?
Well, I'm alive. If I wouldn't have gotten my physical and we would have moved to Belize, I would have been dead within 6 months.
You're alive and you're in the running for the worst story, Sean. Man.
Yep.
Be thinking of you for a while. Hang in there. That's Sean. Okay. We got Rob, Anna, and Sean. I feel terrible.
I mean, you feel good. You feel terrible for them.
I know. That's what I mean. I mean, I'm feeling great for me. But
right, right. No, I think that's the whole point of the segment.
And can we? And now here's Bill on line four.
Bill.
Who knows what else we'll hear about. Bill.
Hey, Frosty. Hey, Heidi. How are you guys?
Good morning.
How's your life, Bill?
Well, it's getting better, but for the last 2 years, it sounded a lot like that bike ride. This started off with me getting back-to-back DUIs. I was 240 pounds. And finally, I lost everything that I had in the aftermath of those DUIs and my alcoholism. My job, pretty much everything except for my wife, who pulled everything together. She managed to keep the house and the kids intact, nurtured me to sobriety over the past 2 years. And it changed. Actually, on the other topic, I've gone down from 240 to 180, and even that has changed our whole dynamic in our relationship.
Bill, you're telling us good stuff. I mean, good for you for losing the weight. The wife is nice, but that's not going to help you.
I can't compete with dying kids. And, you know. But, yeah, I'm just happy to be alive at this point. It really just, it's been a 2-year ride. It just really turned around yesterday when I won a settlement for my disabilities of a. That had been haunting me, but
we know you want to tell us how much it is. How much did you get?
Oh, I can't. Otherwise, I got to give it back. But I will tell you, each DUI cost me $25,000, $50,000 altogether for both of those back to back, and that the fallout. You know, I have 3 degrees. I was making $100K a year. 2 years later, I can't utilize those for my alcoholism, and I'm here making $18 an hour. My college is a waste. So it's difficult. There's a lot of fallout.
Okay. Bill, thank you.
Happier sober, yeah. Happier thinner.
Be well. Thank you. That's okay. Bill.
All right.
You know, by the way, I saw a billboard that had cops on it and said, if we pull you over, the DUI costs you at least $10,000. That's where it starts.
Right.
You heard where it can end up. It's at least $10,000.
There's no excuse for drunk driving. There's just not with Uber, Lyft.
Uber, Lyft.
And well, your couch, drink at home.
Yeah, we forget to.
But if you're out, get a ride.
$10,000 to $25,000.
Mm-hmm.
Bang.
Bill can tell you. I mean, his whole life got turned upside down.
So there's our 4 people we must decide in our council of wisdom here. Which is the worst story? Eric and Heidi and I will decide now. I think we know. Well,
I think Bill's.
Bill,
out.
We can.
I mean, I'm happy for Bill. Like Bill had a rough 2 years, but it sounds like Bill's now turning things around. He back-to-back DUIs. Lost everything.
Lost the weight. Wife is with him. So he's out of the running for the worst story. But,
right.
Okay. Good luck, Bill. Hang in there, but you didn't win this. Rob, first guy. Dad chemo, married ex-buddy. What was the first thing you said?
His best friend's 14-year-old son got killed on a four-wheeler, ran a four-wheeler into his wall.
Okay. That's Rob. Anna, she's sick. Procedure in May.
Didn't work.
Son has a brain cyst.
which will cause paralysis and seizures for the rest of his life.
That's Anna's happy
life. And she's got a boyfriend she's trying to get a job for.
Right, unemployed boyfriend.
How about just get a boyfriend with a job? Instead of trying to find a job for a boyfriend. I don't know. That's just me, though.
Well, she's not exactly a catch right now. How's she going to find someone of quality? I'm sorry, Anna.
She's
Sean.
Got a bit of baggage, you'd say. Yeah.
And then Sean. She's physical kidney failure. Didn't get to go to Belize. Rare genetic disease. Now the whole family must get tested.
Had
and get
a biopsy
infusions.
Of his kidneys. Had internal bleeding. Lost 2 liters of blood.
God, this is tough. Who's the worst?
Now the rest of his life, he will have to get infusions every 2 weeks for the rest of his life.
Eric, give us some guidance on this. Does one sing to you as the worst of the worst?
Yes, obviously. One stands out way more than the other.
All of
too.
You, sir, let's like secret bow. Now circle, the three of us, circle the one you think is the worst. All of you at home playing as well, Rob and or Sean. Who's the worst? Okay, got it.
Okay.
Shall we reveal on three?
Okay.
Okay. One, two, three.
Sean. Anna.
Sean.
Oh, wow.
How did I said Sean?
Yes,
that's the guy, the last
Sean.
One, the physical kidney failure, rare genetic disease, family infusion. What'd you say?
I said Anna.
Why?
Because Sean has it bad. Kidney failure, trust me, bad.
Yes.
Rob has it bad. He's got a dad living with him. His ex married his ex buddy. But Anna has a son with a brain cyst, and there's no pain like worrying about your child's health. So these two have it bad.
Well,
Sean also has to worry about his children.
The whole family.
Who he passed along genetic yucky kidneys
no,
to.
No, he doesn't know that yet.
Well, you don't know the brain cyst isn't going to go away. Brain cysts can go away.
Yeah, they can be drained.
They can be sucked out. I mean, I'm sorry the son has it, but who knows? He's not dead.
But Frosty, she's got the cramps real bad.
All right. boyfriend.
That is an awful thing, endometriosis.
Look, but. Sean has the entire family now has this rare genetic disease. He has to get tested for it. Failing kidneys.
And for every single 2 weeks for the rest of his life.
Right. Which means they probably shouldn't procreate. It's the end of the line. Well, Sean, you got 2 out of 3. On line 3, it's Sean. Congratulations,
Yay,
Sean.
Sean.
You have the worst life. Speech.
Well, at least this is the silver lining today, let me tell you.
Well, you know what? You've got a really cool prize to have some fun with.
This is great. This is amazing.
Your
thank you so
much.
Your
bad kidneys finally paid off.
Well, and you guys keep me happy. Every day I drive to the dialysis, I get you guys till 9 o'clock, so that makes my morning great.
Thank you, Sean.
Maybe we can invite the whole family and get all those infusions out of the way while they're there. Invite Rob, Ann, and Bill, too, if you want. Well, he's champion for round one.
My God.
Now, round two. Can they get any worse? Is it possible? How bad is your life? 800-955-KLOS. We'll start, and again, the order that just came in, line 5, is where we find Mary. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
Well, what's going on with you?
You know what? I might get a little emotional, but my husband was murdered 2 months ago today.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay. Where was he?
He was actually going into a liquor store in the city of Ontario. And I don't know if they tried to rob him, but he didn't even make it in the store. He was just shot. He was shot 3 times.
Do you have kids, Mary?
I have a daughter.
Mm. Oh, God. Did he have insurance?
He didn't have any insurance.
Oh. Well, I mean, it's relative because...
He left a wife and daughter
It's sad
behind.
If you don't have insurance. That means that she's really in bad shape now.
You know what I wanted to tell you also, that I can't even, I'm going to start going to counseling soon, I have to.
Yes.
But I just wanted to let you guys know, I'm sorry, I'm going to start crying, but okay. You're the only show I can listen to in the morning, because I can't even hear the radio. All the music, everything reminds me of him.
Mary, I want you to come over here, we're giving you a hug, come here, all of you. Everybody put your arms out.
Around Mary,
arms around
everybody.
Mary,
everybody. My goodness.
Sweet woman.
We're your
woman.
Family, Mary. We're here for you.
Thank you.
You be strong. And we're here every day. You can listen to us every day. We're with you, okay?
I do. I honestly, I can't. Like, the music, anything I listen to, because he used to love to play music in his rec car. But I'm just saying, like, I can't even listen to any radio. You're the only show that I like, because it's a talk radio, you know. But any music, I can't even hear music. Nothing.
I wonder what he'd think about my amazing brain games.
Oh, I love them.
Did your husband listen to our show?
He did. He did. He used to listen to it on the way to work.
What was your husband's name?
Miguel Mori. He was killed on June 17th.
Mary, you're in the running.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, hold on. Don't go away. That's Mary. We have three people competing to bump her off the list and to grab the trophy from her.
And to them I say, best of luck to you. Yeah.
To the next ones who dare to do that, I say, oh, you have your nerve.
Right? I'd hang up, probably.
But
maybe, hey, maybe theirs is even worse.
Lines are jammed.
Right. They heard Mary's story and they're going, no, that's nothing.
As horrific as your story is, Mary, and I'm pulling for you so far, we got three more to go.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Line six. Hello, Aaron.
Yes, hello. How are you?
Did you hear Mary's tale of woe?
Yeah, it's terrible. I couldn't imagine going through something like that.
What is your story, Aaron?
Well, I have a few, but one of the ones that stick out, I was 16 years old, and I went out drinking with my best friend, and we decided to go to a party while we were sipping some scissor, or whatever you want to call it, lean, promethazine, and we were drinking. I hit the cake stand as soon as I walked in, and about like 2 hours later, I fell asleep on the couch. And you know the rule that if somebody sleeps, you know, on the couch with their shoes on, then you can mess with them. Well, my buddy came in, and I was telling him about getting a haircut that day. And so he thought it'd be funny to singe the tips of my hair on fire. And my other buddy walked in and saw what he was doing and tried to, wake me up as well. So he grabbed a vial of clear liquid and threw it on me, and it happened to be incense oil. So I was asleep, and my whole face and my hands were lit up, completely on fire. They tried throwing water on me, but it wouldn't work because it was oil, so they had to take their jacket off and smother me. And this is the point where I woke up. I could smell my burning flesh, like, through my nose because I was inhaling my own, like, nose hairs and burnt flesh. I wake up with my hands under the sink, and they had the pressure all the way on. And when they went to put my hands under the water pressure was so strong that it literally pulled my skin all the way off from my wrists all the way down to my fingertips. And it was the texture of egg yolk where you could have mixed it, in a bowl. God. And it was hanging inside out like mirrored, like just drooping down off the ends of my fingertips.
I take it you put your bowling ball on eBay then.
I actually played baseball, and my recovery was a year. I couldn't go out in the sun for a year because of the third-degree burns. They would blister up, and then they would start to
bad. Not to be insensitive, but we've all seen people who've had terrible burns. The skin on your face, the rest of your body, how are you doing?
You know, I was the fastest, most miraculous recovery that they have ever seen. I don't know what it was. They've never seen anybody heal as fast as me. I went to the same hospital that Travis Barker went to when his plane went down.
Mm-hmm.
And he funds that hospital. So they have like state-of-the-art like tech, to help.
Oh,
and
that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not helping you when... Aaron, thank you.
Sorry,
you've been through a lot.
You good.
You don't need to apologize.
Right, yep.
Thank you, Aaron. Now, hold on. Don't go away. That's Aaron. I didn't expect it to go there.
Can I tell you, here's my thought the whole time he's telling a story. I feel like he started his true story, which is I went out drinking with buddies and they burned the tips of my hair. But he had heard Mary's story. He's like, and...
Do you think he made...
No.
He didn't make that up.
That's a lot
to make
up.
I didn't expect him to, he's got his hair singed and slept on the couch and stole his shoes or whatever.
Dang,
wow.
That's
Mary should be a little worried now.
People came to play today.
Mary and Aaron. Yikes. This may be the toughest competition we've ever had on this, because they're all worthy of winning. But only one will is determined by us, the judges. Oof. We're taking these calls in the order they came in. Line 7's up next. Christopher. Good morning, Christopher.
Good morning. How y'all doing today?
We're good.
Fine. Tell us about your terrible life.
You're all crazy, man. I barely started hearing you guys like about a month ago, man, and I just can't stop hearing you guys. I work the graveyard shift, and I'll be honest right now. I'm in the McDonald's drive-thru, and they're about to give me my food, and I'm about to tell you my story, and I hope I don't trip out.
Sorry, okay, you just got to watch your language there. We understand you're
sorry,
upset,
buddy.
But okay.
Sorry, excuse me. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I hope I don't. Okay, cool. So the story I originally had was I just had my girlfriend and her kid. He was into this little straw phase of spitballing, you know, but I just got my my story. I completely forgot about it. It was I was literally 7 years old living in a great house and I had a great babysitter, and I had the imagination that you could ever imagine. And for a brief moment I was in an army phase out a little area, like I was in war, and I leaped over and my right kneecap barely clipped a sprinkler, popped it off.
Popped your kneecap off? Your kneecap.
My kneecap, like it did. I literally am looking at the scar right now. And I have to live with myself because of that little small imagination moment that I had.
Hey, Christopher, real quick. Did you hear Mary's call?
Oh, my goodness.
Wait. Yeah. And did I understand, did you break the sprinkler head or break your knee? What popped off, the sprinkler or your kneecap?
Mary, I believe, I completely believe.
Okay, all right.
Hello, thank you.
All right, Christopher, thank you for that. You know, he may win. Thanks, Christopher. All right.
Dead husband or scarred kneecap.
Well, you know, sometimes people win elections you didn't expect to win.
Well, that's true.
You know, it happens. Line 8 is where we find Corey. Corey, I'm guessing he won't come in fourth place. Corey, what is your story?
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes. What happened to you?
My sister, when she was 13, caught on fire. And 2 years after that, she started using drugs. 5 years ago or 6 years ago, she started using heroin. And I told her that I would not be in her life until she got clean. August 11th, she overdosed.
And you feel responsible?
I feel that I didn't get to say anything to her.
Were you angry the last time you spoke with her?
Yes.
And you'll never be able to take that back?
No.
Ever?
No.
You know that will haunt you till the day you died. The last words you had with your sister were words of rage and anger, and you'll never, ever be able to blot that away. Ever.
Yeah.
Right. And now, Corey, I'm on the other side of that. I think you did the right thing, because I think that's a little thing called tough love. And I've had to do it myself with my own family members.
Tough love is good when they live.
Yeah, but that's what you're hoping for. You're hoping that this is the thing that I'm doing right now is going to say, wow, I can't imagine not having my sister in my life. I'm going to choose my sister over heroin. And your sister chose heroin over you. And it does happen, but it doesn't have anything to do with you. It's still an awful story.
Yeah, my parents are blaming themselves, too. Yeah. They're like, we should have done this. We should have done that.
They're not blaming you? I would.
No.
All right.
Wow, Corey.
Corey, that's no, seriously, it's a terrible story. Corey, you had that problem with a sibling. I have a sibling that's a mess. Heidi has a sibling that's a mess.
You family members, yeah.
If it helps at all, Corey, you'd be surprised how many of us are dealing with very similar things in our life. It's just sad that your situation ended so terribly.
I think you did the right thing in the moment for sure.
Corey. Hold on. We got to debate this. She on hold. No, Heidi, when you do an intervention or when you do tough love or whatever, you got to know when you've gone too far, when you can't just disappear.
No, but that's the whole point. It's like, listen, I love you and I want to be in your life forever. I want us to be sisters. But
so,
I can't
have
you in my life.
How is disappearing doing that?
I can't have you in my life if you're coming around on heroin and falling asleep and just being a drugged out mess. That's not what I want in my life. Maybe she's got a husband. Maybe she's got kids. I don't want you around. You get clean. We're together forever. You got to make a choice right now. Are you going to choose heroin today? Or are you going to choose me? That's what those intervention shows are about.
Right. So what you said to the drug addict who clearly can't lick the problem.
And I'm here to help you.
No, you're not here to help me because you disappeared from their life. Lick this problem and get back to me when you're clean is what you're saying. Well, look what happened. She didn't get clean and she died.
Well, I can't get you clean. You got to get you clean. And when you get clean, I'm here for you.
Well, how is it helping her get clean if you just disappear?
Because I'm saying you want me in your life. You've got to get clean.
So because of that, I'm going to disappear from your life. So that doesn't make any sense to me. Probably the worst thing this woman could have done was disappear from her sister's life.
Mm-mm.
And tough love, I practice tough love with my siblings too.
No, because now it's like, oh, stay I get to in do heroin. Life. I get to do heroin and hang out with my sister.
You don't say, oh, you're on your own. I told you this only, never talk to you again. Come back when you're clean. Well, guess what? Some people can't get clean. Some people end up dead.
She'd ended up dead whether her sister was in her life or
possible, but
not.
Heidi, the blood's on your hands on this
All
one.
All right, I'll take it.
Well, consider it on mine too, because I'm with you, Heidi.
Oh, you
I've
too.
Been in a similar situation, and I was told by professionals, you have to let the person hit rock bottom.
Correct.
You have to. Because they are choosing to put that thing. They are not there. They've become the drug.
Right.
So when they show up, you have to imagine that the drug has shown up, not your sister, not your brother, not your father, whatever it is. So you have to say, get rid of that thing. You're carrying it on your back everywhere. And usually the tough love, what Heidi's saying, let them hit rock bottom, happens after we've been there,
right.
there.
Right. This isn't the first time. It's like, enough. I can't do this anymore. Get clean.
Tough love. I'm for tough love, and I'm for letting them hit rock bottom. My brother in my family's life. My brother has hit rock bottom, but we kept an eye on him. You don't just go away. I don't want to see you anymore. Whenever you hit rock bottom and bounce off, come back. Well, guess what? Maybe they don't bounce. Maybe they die.
Then that's
you
got to
stay involved somehow.
No, that's the risk you take. Because they could die in my home on my couch because they came over. And then good night, I'm going to bed. Oh, yeah, me too. And then, oh, they're going to get their last fix before they get in. You know, it's like, nah, I don't want that in my house and in my life.
Well, you know, okay. Having said all that, some people you just can't save.
That's right.
I get that.
Yeah.
It's very sad looking back. But I would feel guilty. I'm sorry, Corey. But I'd feel really, really guilty that I just cut her completely out of my life and disappeared.
But you can't.
When maybe I could have been the one to save that last night. Anyway, okay, we have Corey with what you just heard.
Jesus.
Christopher with his amazing story of a kneecap and a sprinkler. We had Aaron with sleeping on the couch, burn victim from burning incense. And we had Mary with the murdered husband, no insurance. And
left a wife and daughter behind.
Right.
And it simply happened two months ago in Ontario.
Okay, who's the worst of the worst?
Well, you want to do a circle thing like we did the first round?
Yes, I think
okay.
so.
Okay.
God, these are all terrible. Okay. All of you playing at home, we got Mary, Aaron, Christopher, and Corey.
Right.
Okay, everyone, circle. Here we go. Reveal on three. Who's the worst story? The worst of the worst. One, two, three.
I went with Mary.
I said Mary.
Mary.
Mary!
Oh,
Mary wins.
I mean, come on. Poor Mary.
Thank you.
Mary, I'm
hi, Mary.
So sorry.
Hello. Hi.
Yay.
Thank you.
Your husband's with you always. You know that. I know you'd rather him be actually physically with you, but he is with you.
I know.
Did he have a sense of humor?
He did. You know what? That's what's funny about him. He was really got along with everybody, made friends everywhere. That's why right now I did talk to the detectives, and they said hopefully, you know, they're telling me that the case is going very well because, you know, nowadays they have cameras and
right.
everything. So they told me hopefully in a few months someone will get arrested. They're not telling me much, but I'm hoping.
Will you get back in touch with us when you find out more about this? Because your story is going to haunt all of us.
I will tell you, if you look up just his name on Google, the story's there. It tells you the story.
We'll do that. Thank you. Mary, maybe this helps, maybe it doesn't, but if he had a sense of humor, maybe in a weird, wry, dark humor sort of way, he would be smiling knowing you just won the prize by telling the story. The worst of the worst. And you won.
I know. Thank you.
We'll be thinking of you, Mary. Thank you. Aaron and even Christopher and Corey thinking of you as well, but there's only one winner. Thus concludes another thrilling happy edition of F My Life.
What's going on in traffic, Lisa?
Traffic Report is being brought to you by That's Traffic on 95.5 KLOS.
If you celebrate your birthday today on March 15th, you celebrate with Takaru Kobayashi. He's the hot dog eating phenom.
Oh, that famous guy.
Yeah.
He's a little guy.
You think he's enormous, but he's tiny.
He's 40 years old. Eva Longoria, or is it Eva? I always get that wrong. Is it Eva Longoria?
I think it's Eva. It's Eva Longoria.
Mendez and Eva Longoria.
No, Eva Longoria and Eva Mendez.
I always get those
But
two.
It was Eva Braun.
Eva Longoria. Is it Eva Longoria.
Eva
43. Whatever.
Eva Gardner.
There's
Eva
a Longoria Braun. Turning 43. Heidi's birthday stripper song today is brought to us by Will I Am from the Black Eyed Peas. Turns 43.
Oh, baby, I can't come down, so oh yeah. Come
Did you know I was his next door neighbor?
Did you go up to him and say, Frost, I am? I know you. I know you. You did.
So tonight's going to be a good night.
A good night. You're so 2000 and late.
No, the house I rented that I had no longer. He was my next door neighbor. I can now say that.
You changed names. Will you please leave me alone? Sammy's birthday stripper song is brought to us by Blink 182 bassist Mark Hoppus, who turns 46.
A good one.
Yeah.
I always wondered the band was named because someone had astigmatism.
What?
The count of their twitches, the
excess blinkings, yes,
eyeball Tourette's,
and OCD, so he has to count every blink. Let's see. Frosty's birthday stripper song today is brought to us by Mark McGrath, who turns 50.
Fly, fly, fly like a fly in the sky. Fly, 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 oh, super, super fly.
That's a tough song.
I think you're singing something else. Lisa's birthday stripper song is brought us by Rockwell, who turns 54.
Oh, yeah. We're watching you.
You're a stripper. Okay. Eric's birthday stripper song is brought us by Brett Michaels, who turns 55.
Oh, yeah.
We finally got a good one. Making the rounds again. We'll give this to Anthony. Anthony's birthday stripper song is brought to us by Terrence Trent Darby, who turns 56. Oh, Anthony.
Oh, this is unfortunate.
I know I should have skipped you for a reason.
Darby.
Fabio turns 59. The cover of all the romance novel
guy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
My birthday stripper song is brought to us by Dee Snider, who turns 63 from Twisted Sister. Gonna take it. I'm just grabbing heads and shoving them in my crotch.
You're going to take it. You're going to take it. We're not going to take it.
You got the cool song.
This should be Heidi's stripper name. Rye Cooter turns 71.
You like a little rye?
Sounds like a skin condition.
I got Rye Cooter.
Doc?
Yeah. I'm going to the doctor after the
show
today.
You got some Sam?
Yeah, I'm going to get that fixed. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you get a girl with the Rye Cooter, you might get a Sly Stone, who turned 75 today. All right, Lisa, what's going on in the world?
News of the day is being brought to you by Orkin. We have the Frosty, Heidi, and Frank RV about to hit the road. Josh is going to do a giant loop starting on the North 405 across the foothills. So it'll take the eastbound 210 to the 57 southbound, then back across on the 10 through downtown back into Culver City. When you see it, if you can, safely take a picture of it, hashtag it FHF Show, and post it for your chance to win a prize. The prize this week is a pair of tickets to the second annual KLOS Sabrosa Festival with The Offspring. If you'd like more info on that, you can go to 95.5KLOS.com. United Airlines had another dog incident. Yesterday, news broke that a 10-month-old French bulldog died after a flight attendant insisted it be put into the luggage bin when the family was having trouble getting the carrier to fit under the seat. Now we're hearing about a dog that was supposed to be flown to Missouri, but was flown to Japan. The owner went to the airport to get her dog, a German Shepherd, and they said, "Here's your beautiful Great Dane." Here she is talking about her reaction.
I instantly burst into tears, just wondering where my dog was. I was confused, upset, and just in utter shock that this was not my dog.
United says they are flying the dog from Japan to Missouri in first class. Claire Foy, the Queen of England on the Netflix show The Crown, was not the highest paid member of the cast, even though she had the most screen time by far. That honor went to Matt Smith, who played her husband, Prince Philip. Producers of the show say that Matt Smith was a bigger star than Claire Foy when the show started. He played Doctor Who for 4 years. But Claire Foy was far from unknown. She co-starred in an NBC pirate drama, Crossbones, and she played Anne Boleyn, along with Damian Lewis, in the acclaimed PBS miniseries Wolf Hall. Producers are now saying this kind of pay discrepancy won't happen again. From now on, no one will make more than the Queen. That will not help Claire Foy, though. Next season, if you haven't heard, a whole new cast takes over the show. Olivia Colman will be the new Queen of England. And Netflix has decided not to give out virtual passes for kids based on how much TV they watch. We told you that story yesterday.
Wouldn't be surprising if all of the negative public reaction is what killed it. In their announcement yesterday, though, they tried to downplay that. They said, "We've concluded the test for patches and have decided not to move forward with the feature for kids. We test lots of things at Netflix in order to learn what works well and what doesn't work well for our members." They had actually been testing the patches on a small subset of viewers for a few weeks before the idea became public. They didn't say how the test went or why they abandoned the idea. Termites aren't funny. $5 billion of damage a year won't have you busting a gut. Visit Orkin.com today to save 15% on termite control. Orkin, pest control down to a science. It's 4:50. It's 6:50. That's news of the day. I'm Lisa May.
Live from the Morongo Casino Studios, it's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Los Angeles.
What do porn stars say is ruining the business?
Condoms.
Well, yeah, I would agree with that. I didn't sign that petition at Target.
Me either.
I
will
slap that clipboard right out of that person's hand. Like, get out of here, yeah. Condoms and porn. But no, it's not condoms.
Okay. That's what ruins it for me.
Has something to do with technology.
What ruins porn?
Modern technology. Mm. Like where it's going.
You mean, are you saying...
4K.
Oh.
No. High def 4K where you can see every little zit. Every little bit flaw of skin.
Oh, I didn't think about that. It probably gets to be a point where you go, okay, can I get an old TV to watch my porn?
Yeah, right. Let's put some Vaseline on the lens as well as.
Yeah, I mean, while it's out. Actually put it to work.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to create some sort of plexiglass you put in front of the screen of the new 4K that dumbs it down and makes it soften.
I got a better idea. Go buy an old TV. Well,
you know, there's that.
Are you saying it makes it worse for them while they're shooting it? Like, while they're doing it, it's like, oh, these...
I don't know.
No, it's actually putting them out of business, they say, already. And they say the future looks very, very dark.
Amateur porn on internet.
Oh, you would think that would be it.
Yeah, free porn.
I know it had to have hurt, but that's not what they're afraid of in this case. I know it's cut down on their business, too. But looking ahead...
Who here would rather watch amateurs than pro porn with, you know, scripts and stuff?
I like amateur.
You like amateur porn?
Yeah.
But the lighting's always terrible and...
No, but well, there's no...
But it's real, Frosty. These people are really making love.
I don't like really? The super glossy... you know, lots of lipstick and long red fingernails and the tongue flicking kissing. I can't do that. Like, that's, you don't see that much in like amateur stuff.
Doesn't watching amateur porn make you feel a little dirty watching it?
Yeah.
Like you're eavesdropping and through someone's window and you shouldn't.
As opposed to regular porn?
Regular porn.
It's like they know you're
You've
there.
You've already made the
Dirty's
deal.
Dirty, man.
No, it's different. If I want to watch porn.
You go into a coal mine, you're going to get dirty. Amateur or pro, you're still coming out covered in soot.
Somehow there's a difference.
Soot. Either way, the canary dies, okay?
Well, regular porn is like the lighting's bright and the camera work is great and it's all sterile and clean and the camera shots are amazing. The porn done by real people is kind of sleazy and dark lit, and
that's why I think it's even more exciting. It's probably for Heidi. It's more taboo to watch people do it.
There's that,
reals.
And I don't like a script. I don't need it. I don't like it. I like sounds. I don't like words, even in real life. Like I don't. Yeah, no. I don't need a script.
There's no talk dirty to me.
No, not really. No, I like sounds. That does it for me.
But it's pretty much the same word being said over and over and over. What I've seen.
Any sound will do.
That's my favorite one. How did you pull that off so quickly?
Oh, I know.
I hear that, and I'm just like, it is time.
How about this one?
I really like the sounds of two turtles having sex.
Oh, we put that on.
I
can't take a quest.
Oh, dang it. All right. I didn't know how talented you were over there.
You mean more like this.
Uh-huh.
Like that?
Yeah, that's good, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember the turtle sex was really... I'm surprised we can even air it. It sounded so raunchy.
It was...
Here's sounds during Frosty sex.
Ah!
But it didn't last nearly that long.
No.
Can I just say it's the last sound that cricket ever made?
That was like 9.4 seconds. There's no way you've lasted that long. There's the turtles.
Oh, here we go. It's like that scene from When Harry Met Sally.
I'll have what she's having.
Turtle soup.
Want another piece of lettuce?
So porn stars say something is putting them out of work, and as they look ahead 5 to 10 years in the future, as they forecast job possibilities, they say it's a terrible time to go into the porn industry. Sorry to pop your bubble over here in L.A. going to the porn industry.
Popping my bubble, that's what I want you to do. That's why I'm here.
Plastic surgeries.
No. I'll give you a hint. I be here for your pleasure.
Aliens. Alien sex. Aliens.
Yeah. Aliens.
Illegal.
Bumpy, long time.
Asian aliens.
Hello. Asian aliens.
No. Hello.
Oh, that's a good death. Asian aliens.
Hello, Joe.
How much do I give her? $10.
Sex robots.
Oh.
Artificial intelligence, the sex robots, they say they're putting porn stars out of work already. Hmm. And in the future, people will get their own sex robots and they won't bother buying or watching porn. Downloading porn is going away.
But don't you think that even when you have a real human person, there are still some people who like to put porn on as the background soundtrack to watch together? So even if you've got a robot sex doll...
No, but this new sex doll actually provides the sounds. That one Samantha or whatever her name was. I think that's what Sammy came in. She's like, God, how could they name the one sex doll that came out with makes sounds Sammy? It's like, now my name is ruined. I'm like, they named it after you.
Yeah, they look talk. At it that way. I should be flattered.
What are you talking about?
With artificial intelligence, these sex robots, next generation, can actually respond to what you're saying. Mm. They pick up on tone, inflection, even words, and it's like conversing with a real human being. So why would you bother
and
watching
they can't say
porn?
No. So right. Maybe porn was turned to when you got rejected so often, so you'd go in, you know, to the room by yourself and watch porn since you got rejected in the other room.
Sounded like Droopy Dog in
and now
there.
Now you don't get rejected.
Right.
Unless you program the personalities to be like sassy and hard to get.
Why would you do that?
That's like
putting plexiglass in front of your 4K TV.
Don't you want to challenge?
Let me get a sex robot that always says no.
What? Don't you want to challenge?
Unless you're into that weird fantasy you have.
Right.
Isn't the joy, half the joy is the hunt.
Well, what?
I think a sex doll and a pinball machine.
There are certain guys, like Frank said, but it's certain personalities. Like, if you're going hunting, it's not fun. There's no story if the rabbit's sitting on the log going, shoot me, I'm not even going to run. You're like, well, that's not.
Right, there you go.
It's fun when the rabbit is.
Hey, look at this gay rabbit. Shoot me, I'm not even going to run. I loved your impression of a rabbit.
Gayest rabbit.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to do sexy girl rabbit. It ended up being a gay guy rabbit.
Hey, fellas, look at this gay rabbit.
Hi, I'm it's Larry like the Leapeth.
It's like Bugs Bunny when he puts lashes on. And he's like, that looks like Bugs Bunny.
That's just transvestite Bugs Bunny. He's not gay. Come on, Heidi. You should know that.
How come that wasn't a big social uproar in the 70s and 60s?
Because he was hot.
Jesus.
Had the tail sticking out of his skirt and stuff.
He did that to fool Elmer Fudd, right, so that Elmer Fudd wouldn't shoot, because Elmer Fudd always wanted to shoot Bugs Bunny, but Elmer Fudd wouldn't shoot a hot chick rabbit.
No, I don't think he saw him as a rabbit at that time. He saw Bugs as a woman.
Oh, got it.
He was flirting with Elmer Fudd to take his mind off hunting.
To lure him into where the explosives are, the right, bomb or right, whatever, right. The
oh,
mine shaft.
Look at that rabbit. I'm going to wabbage her.
Anyway, so sex robots. See, the thing is, Frank, if she's hard to get, then it's like you got to win her over. If the sex robot always says yes, it's like Heidi said on the hunt. If the animal's always there and you're driving by, there's no thrill of the hunt.
But I'm guessing guys who get the sex robot aren't into the hunt. They're into just
the guys who got the sex robot. I just want done with the hunt.
Maybe 5 to 10 minutes. You got to talk to her and loosen her up, buy her drink, and ask her name and. I mean, it's getting to know you, and then she...
I think that's more pathetic and sad than actually just going ahead and doing it.
Well, my sex robot...
Would you like another glass of wine, sex robot?
No, but I would love some oil. I'm feeling stiff.
It'll have a name, Frank. I won't call her sex robot. It'll be like, Sammy. Mm. Hey, Sammy, would you... Antiques Roadshow's coming on. Do you want to kick back and
Why don't you take me down there and try to sell me? She just wants to get out of the house. She's like, please just...
Could you just kill me for parts? You'd make more money that way.
If only you left her in the original box, you'd be worth so much more.
What did you say about my box? She probably won't sound like that, though.
See, this is Goofy does now, but if you could just go into one of those sleeping chambers like in the sci-fi movies and wake up in 100 years, probably everyone's going to have a sex robot.
No big deal.
Well, people are down for it. A new survey done in Germany found 1 in 3 men and 1 in 5 women would be up for getting it on with a robot. So
I would do
20%
it
of women.
Out of curiosity, why not?
You do it now anyway. It's
right.
Just not a full-on robot.
I just don't have full robot. But yeah, I do.
Most women have a tiny robot in the nightstand. So to say 20% of women be willing to do it? Hell, 80% of women are already doing it. Or 90, maybe 90%.
Yeah, that's true.
Who here has a nightstand robot?
Nightstand robot.
Heidi's raising her hand. Nightstand robot. You have a nightstand robot, Lisa?
No.
No? Okay, she's in the 10% that doesn't. Sammy, nightstand robot?
I guess technically, because you guys make me take toys home. Oh, like Dr. Sadie brings in, so I have
to. I
gotta
do it for work.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I have to. You guys make me take my toys
home. That's what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a robot.
No.
No.
It's the first series of sex robot that women already have.
I mean, I used to belong to the Dildo of the Month Club, if that counts.
There we go.
You're advanced.
You don't throw those things away.
Yeah. No. But because you don't know what can
she's
to put
not
them
just
in.
The president. She's also a client. Dildo of the Month
Of the
Club.
Month.
Yeah.
I got it.
I didn't sign up. I was signed up. But
did you have any idea what was coming in the mail?
Never did.
You never did. So it was
you
always
know,
a surprise.
The Pearl Rabbit was fun. Mm-hmm. They all had special little names.
That was a good one.
Are they all that different? Because after like 48 months, it seems like you kind of start to repeat. You know what I'm saying? Are they at?
They were very creative.
Pretty different. Yeah.
When's the last time you've been to a sex shop, Frosty?
Ever.
It's really, I mean, it's just displays and racks of, I mean, the stuff. I mean, it's amazing.
Been a while.
How much they've invested
time. There'll be things that you're just like, I don't, how does that even, I don't even understand that one. And then the guy will go, well, you turn it this way and this, and you go,
I
would have never even figured that out at home. So thank you for that, I guess. Yeah,
it's a $1 billion industry.
It's nuts.
Well,
it's
those
or not. Yeah, it's always a weird one. We're like, why do we need? Whatever. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Why do you need them?
No, I'm saying you don't really. If you're buying that, you're not going. Well, make sure you get one with. Yeah.
That's
why?
That's how you know when to stop. Heidi. It's your apostat. Right? And it's called the apostat.
Yes, yeah. Right.
Knowing when to call it quits.
Vaginal apostat.
What do you have more of, six toys or shoes?
Oh, shoes.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, because when that flips, as it will someday.
Actually, I have a shoe that... it's a story for another time.
Is it the stiletto heel that you...
It's the work boot.
Because at some point, men, we may be... Not extinct, but I mean, if sex robots 1 in 3 or 1 in 4 are already wanting to have sex, well, pretty soon when they're common and everyone is having them, and you got your drawer full of God knows what, why would you want to spend time with a real human being?
Well, humans won't be made with regular intercourse anymore. It'll be lab babies. That's all we'll have, lab babies. And you'll have to apply to have a lab baby. Mm. It'll be a big process, costs a lot of money.
So only the wealthy really will be able to have babies.
Which is how it should be.
Well, there's going to be an interesting argument.
Really? I don't know why poor people have babies. I mean, seriously, when you're starting out and you don't have any money, you think, I can barely afford
myself.
To take care of myself. I can't have a baby right now. I mean, that's what goes through everyone's head who finds out they're having a baby and they're poor.
Right.
I totally agree with you.
You don't just keep having babies and remain poor.
Right.
It's let me get settled first where I can actually afford a baby and then I'll have babies, but...
I know. We're on the same page there, Frank, but... Having lived in liberal places like San Francisco 3-4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but the poor should be able to have babies too in labs. You can't discriminate against the poor. The poor are the fabric of our community. Well, they need subsidies so they can have lab babies too.
Mm.
That's what the liberals will say.
Mm, well.
Maybe you just get the knockoff lab baby. You're like, well, this isn't top shelf, but...
Well,
I don't know.
But with the planet getting maxed out population-wise anyway, something's going to have to be done.
Well, yeah, maybe no lab babies.
No
maybe
more just... babies for the poor.
Or we make room for more.
Oh, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. I'd be on that board, that what? Council, any day. Kill the evil, not prison the evil.
Kill the
evil.
I'm
not talking about people who are in prison for drug offenses, which I think is absolutely stupid. But the people who are in there for pedophilia or murder that we know did it. Why is he still alive? Why are we paying $60,000 a year so that he can have three square meals a day and a warm bed and he gets to work out in the middle of the day and watch CNN?
And look, it's either this guy or this cute lab baby.
I'll take the lab
I'll
baby.
I'll take the baby, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would be all for that.
Mentally deranged people, threats to society, terrorists.
Bye.
Sorry, goodbye, snuff.
Bye-bye. Serves no purpose. I don't get it. Drug offenses shouldn't
but
be in
see,
jail.
See, the problem is when
pedophiles,
you do that.
Bye-bye.
Well, see, now.
I would Dexter my way through pedophiles.
See, now we're going down the slippery slope. Now pedophiles are in there. Next is like someone's who had adultery. Then someone's like someone who's fat. Someone has high blood pressure.
You're comparing pedophiles to people who are overweight.
Well, I'm just saying, you keep expanding who you get to snuff out. Pretty soon it's, hey, you're fat and obese and you have high blood pressure and you're costing all this money for insurance rates. You're not going to have kids because you're not married. Time for you to die.
No.
Well, I think, though, that we give you a limit on life where it's like, we're not just going to kill you. It's like, okay, if you're going to choose to basically enjoy life the way you enjoy life, which is not planning to live to be 100 anyway, not planning to live to be 90, 80, 70.
Stop it.
So why not just call you at 50 and go, okay, you can just eat and drink and be merry as much as you like for 50 years, and then you got to go down to the death terminal.
My grandparents made it to their mid-90s, thank you.
Well, they didn't look like you.
Were they?
Your grandpa was in shape.
Maybe they lost weight. I don't know.
Maybe you were adopted. Yeah, because your grandpa was a pretty fit guy. So was your grandma, too.
Yeah, they all were.
I remember her wearing her girdle.
Yeah, aww. She's good in your corset.
Walking around the house.
Yeah.
That's the grandma you lived with?
Yeah, she made it to 95. The other side of the family made it to 96, I think.
Wow.
Grandpa was 90.
So when did
dad's
the family
92?
Start getting heavy? Your dad's not even fat. Your mom's not fat.
No, she's 90, 92.
What happened? Are you the only fat one in the family?
I may be adopted.
You and your sister.
And she's, well,
the two
she may be adopted
sheep.
Too.
Yeah, because you were the middle kid and she was the youngest kid. So maybe they took you guys in together.
Or they had Donnie went, not doing this again.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Not rolling the dice on another two. Where are we getting babies from?
Maybe we're all adopted. Maybe mom died sterile. The reading of the will, I'll find out someday. And by the way, you're all adopted.
Yeah. Would you be relieved? Would you be like, oh, maybe I should go find my real family?
In a weird sort of way, yeah.
No, you'd be so pissed off you wasted so many Christmases. Like, what did you tell me earlier? I never had
shush.
I could be on the quest.
I cut my Ireland trip so I to get back because I see my mom.
But they listen?
Well, I'm just saying, this makes me look like an awful person, because I know when you lose your parents, you regret you didn't spend more time with them.
Oh, right.
But... if you when you have a dad like I have,
about half a day a
day. Yeah, a day's enough.
Yeah.
So even though we have, a couple weeks off, I'm like, hey, listen, I'm getting my ticket to come home to Florida for holidays. We only get a couple days off. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Friday and Monday.
I'll fly in Christmas Eve, be there midnight. I got to leave Christmas night. I'm so sorry.
Christmas night.
Maybe I'll fly back in the summer. Yeah, I'll fly in the summer.
We get 6 hours in the summer.
They're working me like a dog, Mom. I'm just there all the day, just sun up to sundown.
By the way, this guy in the news in Texas who lost 200 pounds to fulfill his dream. I know if you're overweight like me, you tried, and nothing can force you to lose the weight. But he finally did to pursue his goal. He went down to the Army recruiter, and he applied, and they said, dude, step on the scale.
Oh, boy.
You're 460 pounds. Here's a photo. Johnny pulled the photo up. 460 pounds. They said, you're way too heavy for the Army. You got to lose weight. He said, okay, I will. See you in a year. In a year, he lost 230 pounds.
He's hot.
He was sworn into the Army, and there he is.
He looks like a different human being.
Look at that.
He doesn't even look like the same guy. Wow.
You know how he did it? He said he stopped going to fast food restaurants, gave up Cokes and sweets.
That's it?
That's it.
He didn't work out?
Didn't say. He says he cooked everything he ate. He says I gave up fast food, no drive-thrus, no Cokes, no sweets. That was it.
Oh my God, how much was he eating that he could lose 260 pounds?
When you're
200 pounds.
I'm guessing that's a three-time-a-day drive-thru guy right there.
Yeah, when you're 500 pounds, that's a lot.
Jesus.
Man, look at him. A year later, he's now in the military. Good for him.
Does that motivate you or what?
Yes, it really does.
I mean,
it's amazing.
But you would never give up going through drive-thrus.
No, I won't do that.
So, so he says, this is how I did it. You're like, oh, well, can't do that. All he did was give up something and didn't start doing anything. It's like, yeah, you got to work out an hour a day. Like, oh, God damn it. I don't have time for that. But just stopped pulling into the fast food restaurant.
I knew. And the way
all he did.
The way just fell off.
There you go.
Stopped his sugary drinks.
It's the easiest thing to do is to stop doing it.
There's a guy who was a famous movie producer who used to live right across the street from me in the cul-de-sac, dropped dead 3-4 years ago. He was a great, great guy. Well-known, very famous, successful producer. And we're about the same age. We're about the same size. I've gained since then. But he wasn't in great shape. Anyway, he died on his treadmill. Dropped dead.
Well, yeah.
And he's like, my age. So he goes to work off the spare 20 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And had he not done that, marching up and down his treadmill, he'd still be with us today.
Not necessarily.
He died on the treadmill. The treadmill killed
him. Did you see how many people commented? Because obviously Ralphie Mae was a big part of our show and made several appearances throughout our career. That when they heard about Ralphie Mae passing away, they thought about you and your health and that this could happen to you at any moment in time. Did you read any of those comments on Facebook? That doesn't change your opinion at all about maybe I should...
It does, and I saw the photos of the four of us, and my gut was sticking out almost as much as him. And God rest his soul. I know because he was the size he was, I know he dealt with the issues that I and my fellow fatties deal with. There's a deep, dark side of you where you're addicted to food that is with you 24 hours a day. I know he had those demons. He faced them, and he lost to those demons. And that's very sad.
And food addiction, I think, is hard. Well, I don't want to speak on that hard kicking drugs, but you don't have to do drugs. Like, you do have to eat. So I think when you're a food addict, you can't just go, well, I'm done with food. You know what? Just not going to be around it. Not going to associate with the people who eat it.
Well, you don't have to go to the drive-thru like this guy.
Right.
He didn't.
Right.
He still ate.
He just cooked.
Starved to death. He still ate stuff.
I will follow the lead of this army guy, and in memory of what?
Writing down the date. That means you have to do it.
Oh, no. My fridge and freezer full. I got to eat through that stuff. I'm saying January. January 1st. 2nd. January 2nd. New Year's Day is party.
It's not going to take you this long to eat through your refrigerator.
Oh, you should see.
We probably get through
that's
that
usually
this
a day.
My freezer, man. It's just stuffed with delicious pizzas and all kinds of stuff. Anyway, when I'm done with the pizzas and ice creams and lasagnas, okay, we'll talk. But it's motivation.
Like I said, it's easier to probably quit drugs than it is food, right?
Well, I've never had to quit drugs, but I mean, I would imagine that you can stay away from that. Food, you can't stay away from.
Sometimes you can't. A 65-year-old CEO of a drug rehab center in Pennsylvania is accused of selling heroin to his patients instead of helping them get clean.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Jeez. There's a who's going to hell.
Should have saved that.
Well, got to know your audience.
I guess. I mean, the
good money
in
it.
Built in right there. Wow. What a evil man. Or woman. I don't know.
So you say get rid of that guy for a lab baby? Killed the CEO who was selling heroin at a rehab center?
Listen, I'm kind of torn on the drug thing. It's like...
He just said he was an evil man. He's going to hell.
Well, he's an evil man, but I don't think I'd put him
on. You wouldn't make room for a lab baby for that?
No, I don't think so.
See, that's what Frosty had, slippery slope. Now you're picking and choosing.
No, but I'm saying pedophiles and evil killers. I don't know if you're selling heroin to a guy who likes heroin.
You got stories or something?
What?
That you have pedophiles or evil killers. Everybody else gets a free pass to live out their days, even if they're evil.
No, I said evil killers.
Yeah, evil blanket. This guy goes.
Evil blanket.
This guy has to go, too. Seriously, if there's an evil blanket...
It'll trickle down pretty soon. Oh, you know what? You had your sprinklers on 4 days a week. Water shortage. Yeah. It's Tuesdays and Saturdays. You get to die.
Water cop.
Right.
Kill him.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Anyone thirsty?
Oh, God. I guess...
Time to learn about booze news.
No, you can't play the song.
Time to learn about booze news.
Now, news story first.
No, we have to... With beer, because you brought Coors, the banquet beer.
Yes.
We have to drink during the booze news intro. And you can't stop drinking till it ends. Remember that? If it's a shot,
right,
we can just take shots. But if it's beer, it's a different rule.
All right. Well, let me get the opener here and we get the news story ready. Just check that we don't have the news story yet. We're just opening our beers. Okay.
I just opened mine with a Sharpie.
All right. I love the feel of this Coors Banquet beer in my hands. A little short, fat bottle.
Girthy.
I got something in common with Heidi. Short and fat and girthy.
Yeah.
And cold.
Got something in common with Sammy's boyfriend.
Oh, not even close.
Fat dog.
Okay, booze news.
Yeah.
Alcohol in the news. London, Heathrow Airport, they're considering restrictions on how much booze you can drink in the airport bars because they noticed too many drunken passengers are getting on planes completely plastered. because they don't have to buy the booze on airplanes. It used to be free.
Right.
So they're getting completely sloshed, too sloshed to fly, so to speak. So they're saying,
I'm not flying the plane. Right. I'm just riding.
Well, I don't know why they care how drunk you are in the plane.
And
then
when
you
love that, your job's easier as a flight attendant because they get on the plane and they're hammered. They pass out. You don't have to serve a meal. You don't have to get...
It depends on the type of drunk you are. Maybe you shouldn't be drinking, you know, the aggressive liquors. Drink, well, drink the lovey pass out liquors.
Yeah, I need that. I need that. So no, what? No tequila. No tequila's out.
Tequila would be out.
Vodka out.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Stick with
that's the... my weird liquor. Vodka. Do you have a weird liquor where it's like I don't know if I need to be drinking that kind anymore?
Tequila for me.
Tequila.
Maybe two, and that's it. Three, I'd either go to sleep or become extremely angry.
Yeah.
Patty, what's your insane liquor?
I don't drink vodka, and that's like...
Oh. Because you had an experience?
I just don't drink vodka because the...
You feel more like an alcoholic?
Well, my face gets bright beet red. Like,
really?
I mean, like, instantly I flush with it. Just but with vodka, nothing else.
Hmm.
But, I mean, I'll just be like, whoa. And people are like, whoa, your face is really red right now. And then I'll go look, and I'll go, what the hell? And
is it's it
like
swollen,
a,
too?
No, just red.
Red.
And it's vodka. I don't know what is in there that does not agree with me. And I just doesn't, I don't like the way
it's
I feel.
It's because
it
goes down so smoothly. When it's ice cold, and you get an ice cold martini, you're like, you get the little layer of ice on top of it. It's like drinking ice water.
Right, so you get too messed up.
You can just pound those things, and all of a sudden, it just hits you so hard.
Dizzy.
So, I understand if you're drinking like a Bloody Mary, you have other stuff in there, Tabasco sauce.
Takes a while.
I can do. But
you
like
can only
just
do so many Bloody Marys. Maybe two.
One or two.
Depending on
one
how
big
much
one,
stuff.
That's it.
Yeah.
So did you have any booze that makes you angry? I don't know what it is for me, tequila. Again, one or two shots, I'm cool, but shot number three, or margarita number three, and I just turn into a really pissed off guy.
I think it's vodka for me. Vodka is mine as well, yeah.
Weird. Just wakes up in the anger gene or something.
Makes you confrontational.
So that's probably why they want to cut down on the number of drunks getting on planes. They get mad. Or maybe if it is an emergency, you couldn't get everyone out of their seats to evacuate if they're all sloppy drunk. Anyway, that's the booze news.
We just learned about booze news. We just learned about booze news. We just learned about booze news. Let's take one more shot.
Oh, let's see who drank the most.
Frosty did.
You drank more.
Killed half a bottle there, buddy.
Yeah, that's almost half on that.
Not bad.
Well, I saw you doing shots during the taping of your Dish Nation, so you're way ahead of me.
Dish Nation doesn't know I drink for television.
I looked and saw you do it.
When we come back, it's Did You Learn? Mistakes You Made That Taught You a Valuable Lesson. What's going on in traffic, Lisa?
Traffic Report is brought to you by...
It's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Yeah.
On the Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS.
How did you almost die? 1-800-955-5567 is the number. There's a video going around of a kid with an umbrella almost got struck by lightning in the yard.
That's crazy. Yeah. Video.
Lucky to be alive.
There's a guy who's just driving, minding his own business, and a crane falls on his car. Flattens the roof, but he's okay. Only, I guess, hurt his ankle. That's it. But could have been dead, I guess, a foot difference.
Jeez.
And he'd have been paced. So how did you almost die? Let's talk to Tina. Hello, Tina.
Hello. So I was young. I was maybe about 10, 11 years old. I was coming back from the book fair at school. There's a big hill that we go down to get to our house. It's me and my brother. We're on our bikes, and there's this handicapped woman that lives on our block. We know her. And so she speeds up around us as we're going down the hill, and I don't know if she saw something or what, but she hit the brakes. I slammed into the back of her car, flipped over, and landed right in front of her car, just head smacked right on the pavement. I cracked open my head. Luckily for us, one of our other neighbors, who's a nurse, just so happened to be on her lunch break, hears the commotion, comes running out, starts wrapping my head in gauze. But yeah, I cracked open my head.
At 10 years old, you cracked your head open.
This was the 70s, 80s, before we wore helmets on our bikes?
Yeah, pretty yeah. much.
She'll learn. That's She'll right. learn. Did you learn? Yes, you learned, didn't you?
Did I learn that old lady shouldn't have been behind the wheel?
Oh, it's her fault. Okay.
I remember that. I guess I could have died. I was a stupid little kid. I think I was in kindergarten. And those slides on the playground that have the hump in them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I hate that.
It seems so tall when you're in kindergarten. It's like you're climbing up that ladder. It's like, oh, my God, I'm top of the world.
Nervous,
like
heart racing, yeah.
You get at the top. It's got that hump in it. And so going off the hump, raise my legs up like I'm popping a wheelie, you know, like ramping off of it. Yeah, I never put my legs back down. So I went off the end. And this is back when they didn't have, like, sand. It was gravel.
Gravel and cinders, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They used like, these, like, white sharp rocks.
And I think at the very bottom, like, when they cemented the slide in place.
Mm-hmm.
That had been worn away so much that the jagged, you know, concrete around the post was right. sitting out. And I go... I'm just landing back of my head on that. Yeah. Crack!
You could have been at least, you know, the rest of your life.
I know.
It's the dumbest thing. Like when you
never did that again because I learned.
You learned. The slide is the dumbest thing. In July at a park, we're going to have a steel slide. A hot metal slide.
You know, the stupid slide they have now at the parks is the rolling pin slides.
What's that?
I don't.
They seem way more dangerous than just the hot metal slide. I know, it's like rolling pins, but they're all lined up together, so they just all roll down together as opposed to slide down. Because I guess you can get stuck on it. Your skin gets pinched in there.
That's a horrible idea.
Little baby fingers.
Well, the lawyers will shut those down. Did they still? I don't think they still have these anymore. They used to have these giant parks slides where you'd climb like three flights of stairs. And they're made of, like, plexiglass, and they were huge, massive...
Oh, those are, like, at the fairs or carnivals.
Yeah, like those.
The burlap sack?
Yeah, like lap sacks, yeah, three or four bumps. And as a kid, I was coming down one of those one time, and the girl who was in my lane finished her slide, but just stood there and didn't move. So when I hit her, she fell into me and bonked my head back as hard as it could be. I had a goosebump as big as my head my head on the back.
Did you learn?
Whoa.
Wait till everybody's off the track, huh?
I don't know, but I always thought, how smart would I be had that not happened?
Maybe you were normal.
Maybe. Right.
And
maybe
this is normal. What happened after you bonked your head off the slide.
Frosty Stillwell in Phenomenon.
I'm showing my mom and dad, like, well, look at the size of me. Oh, shut up. We'll get something to cry about. Smack, smack, smack. I'm like, oh, God, I mean, the dog was going to die.
Eat your cotton candy, fatty. No, you weren't fat back then. You were still
skinny.
Scary. That's when you started eating. It turned off your appetite.
Maybe.
You're
always
hungry.
Seriously, it was a near-death bonk.
Yeah.
Frank, maybe you could have been different if you stayed on that slide.
I know.
Maybe that bonk did something to you.
I had the cure for cancer in there someplace, and nope.
Smacked it right out of you.
The slide took it away from y'all. All right, let's go to Mark. Mark, how did you almost die?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, my friends and I were out taking pictures around the area where I was living, and we went into a cemetery. Found one of those great big upright tombstones. I sat up next to it, fell backwards.
Oh.
The cross that was the top piece of it started wobbling. This thing was like 4 feet tall. Rolled out of the way just as it thudded right down where I would have been laying.
Oh, my God.
Well, talk about a place to die. I mean, you know, we're right here.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah, figuring it took all three of us to pick the thing up and put it back.
Like did you think it was some divine, weird message from God that a giant cross almost crushed you to death? Like, get the hell out of here, you bums.
Yeah.
Yeah, all it's missing is a dramatic music chord.
Yeah, did you learn?
Yeah.
Okay, he learned. Okay, and I'm going to give you a prize.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark. Stay at home. We'll hook you up.
Almost killed by a cemetery cross. Do you snicker at that funeral? How'd he pass? Well, you're never going to believe it.
All right, let's go to Jeremiah. Hello, Jeremiah.
Hey, nice to finally speak to you guys, man. Good morning.
You too. How'd you almost die?
And so it was me and three friends. We went out one night, and we were pretty drunk, man. Well, after the party, we ended up getting in a fight with some people while we're outside in the middle of the street fighting. And I guess one of the girls that was with the other party came around and started stabbing us all in the back.
What?
That's me 4 times, my friend 8 times, and my other friend another 4 times.
Did anybody die?
Nah, nobody died, dude. They took off, and I sat on the ground.
What, you stabbed you with a spork?
Looked on maps to find out where we were.
Well, yeah, did you see the weapon? Was it a big knife or just a tiny little, you know, pocket knife?
It was a good-sized pocket knife.
A good-sized pocket
knife. I had to have surgery, man. They got me in the lung, liver, spleen, and kidney.
Jesus!
So why did she stop stabbing all of you and not just finish the job? Do you know?
Well, I was hearing if someone dies, I'm going to jail. Let's get the hell out.
Oh, okay.
So, can you, for those of you who haven't been stabbed, what is the sensation like? The moment that the knife is going in, is it searing pain? Is it? Because we know what a bee sting. Yeah.
Is it a bad pinch?
How can
you don't feel it?
You don't feel it.
Fighting and adrenaline. You're probably
none of us knew we were stabbed. And my friend took off in his car when he heard the cops coming. He's like, I can't go to jail. I got a warrant. He didn't know he was stabbed until like 4 blocks later. He was bleeding out in his car. He had to call someone.
Because that happy, your body goes, send in the happy juice.
Or it's so sharp and so
you're
plain.
Going so fast, you don't feel it.
Well, that's a good thing then. I'd rather be stabbed than shot
assaulted.
During the fight, I felt myself getting weak. Like my punches had no more energy in them, you know?
Oh, my God.
That's what it feels.
Losing blood, yeah. Oh, geez.
Yeah.
All right, Jim. Yeah. I'm going to give you a prize.
Glad you're okay, Jim.
There you go. Stay on hold. You hook you up with that.
Mm. Oh, that feeling of, like, punching, but you're getting weak. Oh, and you didn't even know you were stabbed. You're like, why am I so tired?
And I'd be worried about, at least use a different knife for each victim, because I don't want to get someone's blood disease.
Oh, yeah.
Could you change blades in between?
Use a sterile knife for me, please.
Just stabby seconds.
If you were going to be a stabbing guy, have a different knife for every person. That's all I'm saying. At least that's all I'm asking for.
Just courtesy.
Is a sterile knife.
Hello, Kyle.
Mm-hmm. Hey, how's it going, guys?
How'd you almost die?
Motorcycle accident about 2 years ago.
All right. Describe the accident for us.
Yeah, I was like 2 blocks from my house. Light turned green. I took off. Some guy in a pickup truck. Turned right out in front of me. He ran a red light right in front of me. I hit the bed of the truck. I flipped over, landed face first on the asphalt. I woke up, came to, woke up, realized I had 2 broken ribs. My ankle was shattered. My wrist was broken. And, yeah, that was it, man. I life flashed before my eyes, you know.
Did you learn?
Well, I still ride.
Do you have a helmet? Did you have a helmet on that day, Kyle?
Yeah, okay. Of course.
All right, Kyle, since you're still ride, I got a prize for you.
Aw, sweet, man.
There you go, buddy.
Hey, love you guys, man. Love you guys.
Me too.
Ride he got safe, to see his life in front of his eyes.
Whew.
I'm not sure how good my life would be. I'm hoping I get someone else's
life.
Would
you be like, I can't die yet. This story sucks. I'm like, bring me back.
Please finish me.
First, it's an unsterile knife. Now, look at this stupid life I'm watching.
All right, let's see. Do you want to hear from Janelle, who was scuba diving and almost died? Or Manuel, who was electrocuted?
Ooh.
Or from Mike, whose brakes failed going down a hill while driving a limo with 14 people in it?
Oh, my God. Do I have to choose? I want all of those.
All right. Let's go Janelle first. Talk about scuba diving. Hello, Janelle.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Tell us your story, how you almost died.
So I was getting scuba diving certification in college, and we were 40 feet in the ocean in Monterey Bay, and you have to go through all these tests to make sure that you can be certified, like taking off your respirator, putting it back in, making sure that you know how to handle an emergency underwater. And the final test was to take off our goggles to see if we can put them back on underwater just in case they get ripped off. So I was the first one in the circle of about 10 of us to do this, and my diving instructor goes up to grab my shoulder, but I thought he was grabbing my spare respirator mask, and so I thought he meant for me to take my respirator off and my goggles, and I quickly realized that was not the right thing to do because I couldn't see and couldn't breathe 40 feet underwater.
God.
And since I took off my goggles, I just left them up, and goggles have air in them. If you leave them up, there's a bubble. And so they floated up about probably 15 feet. The girl next to me grabbed them. And then my respirator's bubbling. I can't see it. Nobody can do anything because they're just watching in horror. My diving instructor grabs my spare one, puts it back in my mouth, and my first instinct was to start for the surface, but of course we're 40 feet underwater. My lungs would have
exploded.
Oh, you got to go slow, don't you?
Slow, yeah.
Oh,
well, Jesus. You can just blow out and go all the way up. Just don't hold your breath, and then you'd have been fine.
Exactly.
But did you learn?
Yeah, definitely.
Did you pass?
But she learned. That's all that matters. Did you get your certification now? Open water. Is that you can do it still?
Yo, yeah, definitely.
Oh, it didn't freak you out? You're still a scuba diver?
Yeah, it scared me so bad, though.
That could have been it.
I lost my goggles.
Yikes.
Yeah, totally.
You know, I'm a rescue diver. Do you guys know that?
You're certified? Really?
Yeah, I mean, I'm one step away from being a dive master. I just didn't go out. I know.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
No desire.
It's been a while since I've done it, but...
You know, there's plenty of people who have gone down and filmed it. I'll just be at home in my easy chair watching a film. I'll just watch a show that shows diving. I don't have to do it myself. I don't have to drown that way.
That's just like, it's almost like, you know, being on the motorcycle and you're just there and there's nothing out. The outside world is gone.
Isn't scary, though?
And you're underwater. Yeah, well.
Because there's sharks out there and things go wrong, like respirator lady there.
Yeah.
The instructor always says, you know, always look out to the blue. Look out to the deep. That's where you see the good stuff. Don't just keep looking down at the bottom. Or, you know, look out to the blue. And I remember that one time. I was like, my God. All right. So I stopped and I turned to look out into the ocean, the deep ocean.
Oh.
And I'm swimming with like this school of barracuda that were about 12 feet long, each of them. And they're swimming right there with me. Like I was part of the school.
They're not going to bother you?
I was like, whoa. And they were just checking me out. And then they all just off and gone. I was like, wow. But I had no idea because I was looking at the bottom.
Right, right.
But I was swimming with these fish that were giant with their teeth.
Oh, is it to the bit? Oh, there we go. Let's see.
Did I learn?
No.
Yeah, that's great.
Wow, it's
very
too scary
meditative,
for me,
relaxing for me.
Could you rescue me 40 feet under?
Well, yeah. You don't weigh as much as you do
You're
on land.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
It'd be hard to get you down.
That's true. I'm so full of buoyant blubber and gas.
Yeah. We'd have to put weights on you.
You would, like Jimmy Hoffa. Oh, yeah. I don't think I'd sink.
Yeah, you'd have concrete fins.
That's true. It's true, because when I have my house in my pool, when I'm in the shallow and I walk towards deep end, my belly starts going up as I get deeper, and it floats up almost to my chin. It's just, I can't get underwater.
You're your own noodle.
All right, let's go to Mike, where the brakes failed going downhill while driving a limo with 14 people in it. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, tell us a story.
Sure, I was, it was old school when GPS wasn't working too well. It was a big limo. It fit about 16 people in it. I had 14 people in there, and I was going down a pretty steep hill. And I wasn't supposed to be on a hill because the GPS got me lost. I was in Marietta, Fallbrook area. And all of a sudden, I took the wrong turn. I couldn't back up. I couldn't turn around, so I had to go down the hill. And it was a really steep hill. And I had my brakes all the way applied. I had to go down all the way to the first gear. I even had my emergency brake all the way applied. And nothing was working. So it was a steep hill. Not only was it a steep hill, but it was like almost a one-way hill. And so it was swerving. It was like it was a windy road. And
so how'd you stop?
And luckily the hill bottomed out. So that was the only
the
way.
The hill flattened out. Oh my God!
Yeah. I was overthinking.
But were people in the back who were partying and not knowing what's going on because there's the
they
partition?
Had no idea.
So, but they're getting slammed around in the back.
I wasn't worried about it. But yeah, it was bad. The brakes started smoking. It was hot. I mean, everything was really hot. And just as it got to the bottom of the hill, everything gave out. Luckily, I was going back up the hill.
But then you're stuck there at the bottom of the hill.
It was way worse than that, actually, because it was the 50th anniversary, and I had a couple back there with me, too.
Oh.
And they were probably doing it back there. Time of their lives.
Right. Golden anniversary.
The golden anniversary is back there. Like, oh, my God,
there,
hey.
There were the children back there, the older.
You're rocking the whole limo.
That's why old roads.
It was pretty bad.
Did you learn?
Is everything okay?
Did you learn?
Not to trust the GPS.
There you go.
There you go.
Never back in the day when the GPS first came about. But
thank you so much, Mike.
We need runaway limo ramps. I've said that. We got them for the semis. What
That's
about
right.
limos?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would have used
Why
those.
Not just use a semi ramp?
Too big. I would have used one of those just once in my life. That's on my bucket list, even if I don't need to.
Uh-huh.
I've heard that if you use that, you have to pay for them to come and re, you know, they got to put the
so
rocks back.
So you just
back.
Want to gun it, then not use the brakes.
Go,
and just,
oh,
and just
whoopsie,
go the
brakes
are
working.
You'll
be getting fun, kind of like.
Do it.
Yeah.
Well, not until it's later.
Not until you're dying or something?
When I'm old enough, when I'm about to take my license away, that's what I'll do. What a way to go out.
There was a guy I was in school with. We were driving cross country heading to Montana. And he would, every time there was a big truck ramp, the runaway truck ramp. He'd, oh my God, roll down the window and take a picture of it. Like, what are you doing? He's like, I collect runaway truck ramp pictures.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
I slept with my eyes open that entire trip.
I was going to say, he sounds like a serial killer.
And you laugh at me for collecting coins. Look at my coins in those photos.
I don't know.
I'm intrigued.
I'd rather look at his photos of runaway truck ramps than your coins.
And now for one of my three all-time favorites.
You're locked on Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
On the Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS.
All right, Lisa, what's going on in the world?
Well, we've got our Frosty, Heidi, and Frank Mike Thompson RV out on the road right now. Josh is taking the northbound 405 to the east 210. In fact, he said he is on the 210 now, headed towards the 57. Then he'll take that south to the 10, then back all the way into Culver City. When you see it, if it's safe, take a picture, hashtag it FHF Show, and post it for your chance to win a prize. This week, the prize is a pair of tickets to the second annual KLOS Sabrosa Festival with The Offspring. If you want more info, you can go to 95.5KLOS.com. Subaru pet of the day, two-year-old Chihuahua mix named Bongo. Spunky two-year-old mix, looking for his forever home. He is silly. He loves to play. You need to meet him. He kind of looks like a corgi Chihuahua mix. I could be wrong, but he's super cute. Go to 95.5KLOS.com. Check out Bongo. Subaru pet of the day is brought to you by the 2018 Subaru Outback. This may be the most adventurous Outback yet. News of the day is being brought to you by Stater Brothers. As many as 330,000 people may lose their jobs because Toys R Us is liquidating its inventory and will begin a wind down of its U.S. operations. The move was announced this morning in a filing in U.S. bankruptcy court. The company has 735 stores in the U.S. In the filing, it says it's still hoping that it can keep 200 stores open, but it's a big question mark. So if you have any Toys R Us gift cards, you better use them now. Yesterday, the news came out that MTV was pulling the plug on TRL. Turns out that's not right. MTV says they're actually in the process of expanding the show a lot. TRL was originally hosted by Carson Daly from 98 to 2002. It went off the air almost 9 years ago, but was revived back in October. MTV says in addition to the afternoon show, they're developing a morning version, which will be like a curated Spotify playlist and also a nighttime after show edition. Netflix has landed a stop-motion animated movie that'll be voiced by Jordan Peele and Keegan-Michael Key from Key and Peele. In the movie, the characters Wendell and Wild play two demon brothers who are forced to face off against their archenemy in order to earn their way out of hell. Animator Henry Selick is behind it. He's the guy who did The Nightmare Before Christmas and also Coraline. No word as to yet when it will be released. Claire Foy, the Queen of England on the show The Crown, was not the highest paid member of the cast, although she had the most screen time by far. That honor went to Matt Smith, who played her husband, Prince Philip. Producers of the show say that Matt was a bigger star than Claire Foy when it started. Of course, he played Doctor Who for 4 years. But Claire Foy was not unknown. She co-starred in an NBC pirate drama called Crossbones, and she played Anne Boleyn alongside Damian Lewis in the acclaimed PBS miniseries Wolf Hall. Producers are now saying this kind of pay discrepancy won't happen again. From now on, no one will make more than the Queen. That will not help Claire Foy. However, next season, if you haven't heard, a whole new cast takes over the show. Olivia Colman will be the new Queen of England. News of the day is brought to you by Stater Brothers Supermarkets. Have your groceries delivered from Stater Brothers in as little as an hour. Order online at staterbrothers.com with Instacart. Quality and convenience delivered. It's 7:55. That's news of the day. I'm Lisa May.
Live from the Morongo Casino Studios, it's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Los Angeles.
Well, 1-800-955-5567 is the number. We have that dark core, but we're also gross as a people. You know what I mean? Like, we do things behind closed doors and curtains that would gross out other people.
Like what?
Like peeing in the shower. Do you do that?
I normally don't, but I'm in a rental house, so I do now.
Wait, what?
Well, in the house I own, I've never done that, and I never will.
You never have?
No, it's too weird.
A plumber told me one time, I know we've been through this, a plumber told me years ago that if you do that, the chemicals in your whatever settle into the crud in the pipes, and it can build up and cause a stink.
Oh, because there's no catch or trap.
Yeah, it can soak in and cause odor issues. Plus, it's just weird and unhygienic.
Didn't you poop in the shower once?
That was an accident. I thought it was gas.
Oh,
and
my God.
I heard a little
what
splash.
What a horrifying surprise.
I just thought it was gas. We've all released gas in the shower. And I heard a little splashing sound that was unusual. Oh. I looked down. Oh, my God. Oh, no. Please, no. I went to go pick it up. And the help had the day off. So I had to use my foot.
Oh, my God.
And make it go away.
Oh, oh no.
It joined my career down the drain.
Well, 84% of people, when asked that question about going to the bathroom in the shower, have done it. 84, 8 out of 10.
Okay, well, I've done it lately, so, all right. Didn't used to, though. Do you?
Yeah, I think, all the time.
But why? There's a toilet right next to the shower. That's what that's for, you know?
I think it's just the warm water.
Yeah.
And the sound. I don't know. It's just everything starts flowing at that point.
If ever I've been in a lake or an ocean, an indigenous body of water, I do it out there.
Really?
It just seems like, hey, this is kind of...
As soon as you get into the water, you go.
I get the urge. Then I back away from the warm water, so to speak. But I do it out there.
Have you ever passed gas in an elevator?
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. I mean...
Is it something like when you get into the ocean, you have to? Like when the doors close and you're by yourself, is it just... Like you feel like you have to go?
Like the pressure of the room makes it...
Yeah. Plus, yeah, I guess the elevator ride, if you're going up a very, very tall building, the pressure would change in your bowels.
I know.
So you'd probably have to let something go.
I try not to in elevators, Frank, because I know the doors are going to open and someone's going to step in and they're going to, you know what I'm saying? We've opened elevators with someone before you let one loose and someone gets in the elevator and there's that unspoken...
How about the bathrooms here? Because they're bisexual. That way, they're not called that. What are they called?
They're unisexual.
Right.
Unisexual.
Where men and women can go in the same one. And so... Yeah. I never really cared about letting toots go in a men's room.
That's
when
true.
You know you open the door, there's going to be Sammy standing outside, going to follow you in there, and it's like, oh, I just tooted in there. So do you not toot in the bathroom here?
I toot in the bathroom.
In here?
Who doesn't? That's
don't you think about who could be waiting outside waiting?
That is the toot room.
Not now.
The bathrooms at work are where you go to toot.
But not when there's women. You don't want to toot.
Haven't
in front
we
of a strange woman?
Don't,
right?
Don't women want true equality? Well, then just comes with it.
I guarantee women think about that too. So, Sammy, when you're in the unisex bathroom and you got a toot, are you worried that I'm waiting outside to use it after you?
Yeah, it's always awkward, but you can't stop. I've walked out before. Frosty's walked right into it, and I'm like, I always hope it's going to be Eric because he doesn't have a sense of smell. But anyone else, you're just like, sorry.
You've walked into Sammy's toot?
Well, I knew it was probably someone before Sammy because I don't think she was capable of what I smelled. I mean, the people at Bhopal, India had it better than what I walked into. It can last you like 8 or 10 people coming and going. Like it was 10 people ago who did that.
Yeah, 50%, 53% said that they've done it while they were alone in an elevator as far as just tooting.
Very risky.
How often do you wash your jeans?
I'm embarrassed to
say. After 2 or 3 wears?
I'd like to because it gets sort of slimy.
Normal. 60%, 6 out of 10. 2 or 3 wears on pants before you throw them in the wash.
Oh, okay. I don't feel so bad.
Are you gross or normal? Have you ever needed a shower but just put on a ton of perfume or cologne instead?
Nah.
You don't just do a French bath?
No. I don't own cologne. I've never been a person who tries to cover it up with stinky smells of other kinds, no.
70% just cover it up. Just put on another lather of deodorant. Maybe slap somewhere on the neck.
Guess what? It's not working.
let's see. As an adult, have you ever picked your nose and eaten it?
No.
My God, 1 in 4 said yes.
One in four
adults. Look around you. If you can see 4 adults, one of us is a booger eater.
I'm guessing it's Eric. That's so you.
If I had to guess, I would say Eric as well.
Yeah, there's something about him.
No.
I've never eaten a booger?
No, I have a weird thing with boogers. They make me vomit.
How do you know? If you didn't try to eat one.
No, if I see one, like if one flies out of my nose or even on my daughter, I can't pick my own daughter's boogers. My wife always has to do the boogers. I will vomit. I cannot look at boogers.
Actually, I got the jelly beans here. One of them tastes like boogers.
No, no. Frank.
Come on.
I don't know. It might not be the taste, though. They might be delicious.
If one in four are doing it, maybe there's something to it, like where it gets around. Maybe
this is either booger or juicy pear.
Oh, no.
This is the bean boozled. Still had some on the desk. So here you go, Eric. That's either booger or juicy pear.
And it's green colored.
Okay, yeah, it's the green with the speckles in it.
Oh, it's booger.
Oh. I've never eaten a booger, so I had no idea what that even tastes like.
Must not be good. He's on the floor. Eric, are you okay?
Johnny's even dry heaving. Here, Johnny, you want one?
Oh, can you smell it coming out of his coughing? Smell it. Oh. Even your coughing reeks.
Hey, Johnny, here's either booger or juicy pear. Get over here. Is it that bad?
Because here's the thing. It tastes like a booger, but when you chew a jelly bean, it immediately becomes the consistency of a booger.
And that's like a giant booger, a jelly bean.
Johnny's chewing.
A juicy pear.
All right.
And the pear, isn't it really good? I mean, the pear is good.
No, the juice. Is the pear delicious? Yes, it's juicy.
Now, Eric, is it stuck in your cavities? You still have residual?
Oh, I spit it out the second I found it.
No, it's probably stuck in your teeth a little bit.
Don't!
So one in four admit to
eating. But one in four eat them and I guess, enjoy it? I mean, it's awful. I wouldn't even know what it tastes like. I've never eaten a booger in my life.
I'm guessing it's higher than one in four. One in four admit to it. If someone asked you if you did it and you did it, would you say you did it? And how many of those eat ones that aren't even their own?
Yeah, it says, as an adult, no. Well, I mean, as an adult, have you ever picked your nose and eaten it? 25% said yes, one in four. And then half of those people said they still do it.
Why? Why?
Like they tried it once. They admit one in four have tried eating booger once.
I don't know why you would do that. It's like eating your earwax.
All right, be honest. Show of hands. Who here has eaten a booger?
Not intentionally.
Johnny? No. Sort of? No? How can you sort of not eat a booger?
Well, being from the East Coast, when it gets cold outside, like, you get that runny nose.
Yeah.
So there's times when, you know, you do the liquid, and there's, like, some little runny nose.
Yeah, yeah, I've been there. I've been there.
Was it like a warm oyster of some kind?
Oh!
Sammy, you eating a booger?
Yeah. When I was a kid, not as an adult. I thought everyone ate them as kids.
No, I never tried
really?
One. Never, not once. What made you try one? Were you hungry or just curious?
No, I think I would get myself into situations where I would pick it, but then I couldn't wipe it on my pants or something. I would get in trouble. Like, I would have nowhere to put it.
You
and I didn't want
it.
My mom to yell at me, so I would just eat it.
You weren't good at rolling and flicking?
For a child, it's very logical.
Oh, speaking of being gross or normal, are you doing something gross you want to admit to us now? You can give us a call, 1-800-955-5567. All right, let's talk to Dick. What's up, Dick?
Hey, what's up? Good morning.
What's the grossest thing about you?
Oh, the grossest thing.
Well, the fact that you haven't washed your hair in how long?
That's probably been a year, year and a half.
Hasn't washed his hair in a year.
Are you a Rastafarian or someone who it's religious reasons you don't wash your hair?
No, my hair is short. I'm actually a public educator, and I get in the shower every day and scrub it off, but I don't use shampoo.
Oh, but that's washing.
Well, it's not shampoo,
He's rinsing off every day. He's not actually putting any poo
right,
on it.
But his hair is so short, it's not, you know, it's not getting long and greasy because it's short. It's technically he's washing his hair.
Actually, when I did have long hair, I didn't wash it either. Maybe put a little conditioner or something in there, and it looked good.
Yeah, my grandma.
You guys, how about you? How about you? What's your name?
I lost you.
My grandma, my great grandma looked really, really young. She was. I mean, she started having kids when she was 13, but she was, her secret to her young looking face was she never washed it.
Ever?
Nope.
So she would divert her face from the water. She'd wash everything else, but not the face.
Never put any soap, cleanser, moisturizer, nothing. Just let her face air.
I don't know what's more shocking, that or realizing that all the women in your family were complete sluts.
I know. She was 13. My grandma was 15. They started early. Hell, yeah. We lived out, you know, in the sticks.
So everyone knew she never washed her face.
Yeah, that was her secret. Well, everyone knew, so it wasn't a secret, but that was her secret to a beautiful, young-looking face, was never wash it.
Ooh, you think it'd be all slimy and greasy. And by the way, it gets very hot and humid in the midwest.
It's
kind of
like
this,
you're not supposed to use a Q-tip in your ear because you need the wax to do
that's
stuff.
True. That's true.
So it's
true.
Like your natural face oils you need. It's like your body knows how to do its stuff. By washing off the good stuff and putting on stuff to replace the stuff, you're screwing yourself.
You know, you might be doing something, because I remember we used to talk to all the people in Survivor. We used to work for a radio station owned by CBS, and every week when the survivors were voted off the island.
Remember when we talked to the deaf girl?
Yes, that was the greatest one ever, wasn't it? Greatest radio interview ever.
Yeah.
The deaf girl from Survivor.
We talked to a deaf girl on the phone.
Yeah, that was interesting. But I remember asking one of those early Survivor cast-offs about the smell, because I know they're in this hot, humid desert island climate. I said, you don't have any deodorant out there. Isn't everyone's pits and bits stinking? I remember the guy said, no, the stink goes away after about a week and a half.
Yeah, you can only get so stinky.
Yeah, and then he says it goes away. The human body, once you stop with the soaps, it just, it's okay.
He figures said. It out.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Rob. Hello, Rob.
Hey, what's going on, Frank?
What's up, man?
Rossi. So the nastiest thing that I know of is my daughter, four years old, she picks her nose, eats it, and she also eats her eye booger.
Oh, my God. Why is it so much worse when it's an eye booger? I don't know, but it really is.
Man,
oh,
it is.
I'm rubbing my eyes right
now. I don't know if it's going to backfire on me. Do I keep encouraging it?
Yes.
For future, or do I try to stop it now?
Keep encouraging it so she'll never date. Oh. Exactly.
How is that worse than a nose one? I think it's just like a little crouton. I can still put a few in my salad. I've ate a salad.
Oh. You don't find that even worse than a nose booger?
No, not at all.
For some reason, I do.
Really? Mm-hmm. I don't find them. They
Rob,
come out of your eye.
I'm going to give you a prize.
Sounds good, brother.
There you go.
Have you noticed, Frank, as you've gotten older, your earwax has changed color?
Changes color?
Mine, at least mine has. Mine used to be
what
very...
What it used to be?
Like highlighter yellow, like bright yellow as a kid. Now it's like dark orange. It's gotten darker.
Why?
And thicker. It's, I don't know. It's like pasty. Has that ever happened to you? Everyone stick your finger in here and see what
goes. No.
Now, notice as you get older, it changes. It thickens and yellows. It's stinking now. It didn't used to smell.
My God. Do you ever clean out your ear with a bobby pin?
No.
That's the best way to do it. You can just hook onto that stuff. Oh, yeah. You don't use a Q-tip. Use a bobby pin. You scrape that stuff out.
Oh, you hit your eardrum.
No, don't go deep. It's got that hoop on it. Just.
I haven't told you this, but it was a couple years ago. I thought I went deaf. Again, I mentioned my earwax is getting worse. And I woke up one morning, and my ear, I couldn't hear anything out of my right ear. I woke up. You know, I'd been laying on that side. I thought, oh, my God, I've gone deaf. And I couldn't get the... I couldn't... What do you do? So I immediately went to the emergency room with a nearby clinic, and they looked and said, oh, you got earwax, completely clogged your ear up. And they had to have one of those blasting, sucking wax machines.
It's probably loud as hell, too,
I know,
right?
And put drops in there. Yeah, that happens as you get older.
Do you just have, like, highly sebaceous ear canals?
I don't know, and I didn't used to be. I used to be fine and normal. Now this is happening.
Now you wake up, and there's wax chunks on your pillow.
Sometimes my ears are closed. Yeah, I have drops now.
Oh, my God. You have prescription drops for your earwax
over
problems.
Over the counter. You can get them at Walgreens, whatever.
Oh, my God.
I assume most guys have this.
I'm not looking forward to getting your age.
I just assume most older guys have this but don't talk about it. It's the unspeakable, the earwax issues, but maybe
I don't
not.
Think I have a real bad earwax problem, because I went to get my ears checked once, and the guy's like, you know what? And he's like looking through that little thing, and he's right in your ear hole.
Yeah.
He's like, my God, you have the cleanest ears I've ever seen. I was like, really?
How was your date?
Like,
that doesn't come online.
I was like, thank you. And he's like right in my ear too, because he's like, look at this. You have the cleanest ears I think I've ever seen. Like, yeah, I do.
Your hole is absolutely.
If he'd have kissed my ear right then, I probably wouldn't have minded. Let's go to Matt. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
What's that, man? What's the grossest thing about you?
Oh, man. basically, you guys know what a skin tag is, right?
Yes, a little flap of skin that hangs off. Yeah.
Yeah, a little flap of skin. So one day I just, you know, was looking at it under my armpit, and I was like, you know, what's the doctor going to do? I'm going to go in, and he's going to snip it off, right?
Right.
So I figured I can do that, save myself the copay, the visit. So I got there with like a pair of haircutter scissors, snipped it off, put some alcohol on it, and it was good.
Yeah, but it hurts like crazy, right?
Snip quick, right? And so I had one on my eyelid that I got, and then when my brother found out he had one, I told him I would do it, and they were grossed out. I have two brothers, but you just hold it with a tweezer and bam, take it off.
You pulled off a skin tag with a tweezer on your eyelid?
No, you pull it, hold it out away from the skin, because then you want to get it close to where it's going to be the base of the tag.
Oh, God, what if you made a hole?
No, well, it's a little bloody dust. You put alcohol on it, and bada bing, you're done. But I had one. The worst one I had, though, was on my, down there guy,
What?
So, you have one down there, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that looks gross anyway. Why are you cutting skin tags off of that? It's already disgusting.
Well, yeah, the skin tag is gross, but then once you snip, no more skin tag.
Matt is braver than I've had to go have the skin dermatologist burn them off with that cold blast of air.
Oh, it's the
freezing machine?
The nitrous or whatever?
Yeah, the nitrous.
The nitrogen.
And Matt, I also tried to cut one off with the razor. Snipping them off hurts worse than the blast of nitrous
oxide. You probably tried to cut it off with toenail clippers, right?
Yeah, it was toenail clippers, yeah. And it hurt like crazy because it has nerves in there. The skin has nerves.
Yeah. Matthew, Matt, thanks so much. I'm going to give you a prize.
Sounds awesome, man.
And hold.
Amazing how skin tags aren't there on Tuesday. Thursday, they're like half
an inch
long.
This must be big, though. I mean, for someone had to complain about them. Like, my God, what is this?
Yeah,
it's a skin tag. Because really, I mean, if no one's complaining about them, you're not going to notice them. But if someone starts talking about all your skin tags, especially in your eyelid. Oh, my God. Flappy skin tag. All right, let's go to Rob. No, we already talked to Rob. Let's go to Joel. Hello, Joel.
Hey, how's it going, Frosty and Frank?
Morning.
Joel hasn't washed his work pants in how long?
About 9-10 months.
Oh, no. Is there a reason, Joel?
I work a lot of hours, and I live by myself, so I don't have anyone to do my laundry, so I just kind of throw them on the floor when I get home from work and put them back on. Ready.
So for 9 months, just keep putting them back on every morning, right from the floor.
Yep.
What sort of work do you do? Is it sort of like dirty construction work or office work or what?
Construction.
So they have to get dirty and slimy and disgusting.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty bad. I usually wait. I mean, that's a regular thing for me. About every 9 months, 10 months, I'll go buy a new pair and get them, and
that's it. Are you working outside in this horrible heat, so you're sweating in them all day?
Yep. Right now, I'm actually working on Skid Road. 95 degrees out.
Ooh. Oh, Joel, life is too short, for God's sakes.
That's so funny.
Wash your pants.
Total guy. He doesn't even wash his pants. He buys new after 9 months. All right, I'm going to give you a prize, Joel.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
There you go.
People go on vacation, and maybe, you couldn't find a laundromat or washing machine, and a week has gone by, and you haven't washed your hands. You know that sort of slimy, sheeny, gooey feeling you get, and the stink that starts up? Multiply that times 9 months. I don't think so. Not putting those on.
Back now to Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on the Rock of Southern California.
95.5 KLOS.
Accidental shot of nudity. They've been surprised by someone's junk. They were surprised in Orlando, Florida when they saw this guy working out at the apartment complex. He was at the gym on the stationary bike, totally naked, 57-year-old guy. And then they caught him masturbating next to a pond. So he might have had some issues. But
maybe so.
Have you ever been surprised by someone's nudity? 1-800-955-5567. Eric's got a story. He used to... You used to spy on people, but I don't think spying on people is accidental nudity.
Well, it ended up spying, but it started off accidental because I went out on my balcony and it was two apartment complexes.
With some binoculars.
They faced each other. The two apartment complexes faced each other. So my balcony looked at other people's balconies. Yeah. So I'm out there and this girl is smoking a cigarette and out walks a naked man onto the balcony.
Yeah.
And she puts down her cigarette and begins smoking his cigarette.
Wow.
Oh.
Then they proceed to go inside and engage in a lot of sexual congress.
Did they know you were out there on the balcony as
well?
No,
because there's a big pillar right there on my balcony. I was in that balcony.
So you were hiding behind the pillar watching this? That's not...
No, Eric.
That's not accidental surprise nudity.
No, I was out there.
You're
I was just...
You're a peeping... When they went inside to do the smoking, did they use a filter?
Yeah. She got naked. Then he started taking pictures of her. So they're both naked at this point. And then they go into another room, and all I saw was his ass in the window, not in the window. In the window, not in the window.
They wanted you to see.
Yeah.
Because you're very aware.
Plus, with the picture taking and stuff like that, they really like their bodies. Mm. Really good looking people.
Very good looking.
And you're doing a long time of watching. It wasn't like you see it and you look away.
How long did you watch just his ass go in and out of the window?
Mm. Well, I called my roommate over and we watched together for quite a while. It was...
Did you guys both get naked too?
No. Was there a pillar between you so that it was like, you know, that seat of the movie theater? Like, you stand on that side, I'm going to stand on the other side.
Patrick saw his mother-in-law naked. Accidentally?
Oh, yeah. It was, she was staying with us, and I woke up early in the morning to go use the bathroom, and I didn't realize that she had gone in there to take a shower.
Oh, thank God you said shower.
So, when I opened the door, she was full on drying herself, bent over, butt towards the door, and I got a full...
So you got a full shot of everything.
You got a full
shot of your future.
Back door
gigs. It was full.
Oh my God. How long did you stay in there,
breakfast.
Though? Because you didn't want to let her know you were there, so you had to, like, quietly shut the door?
What? I finished, and then...
All right. 1-800-955-5567. How do you get any answers?
Well, I'm remembering... I mean, there's been a lot, but I remember the very first time I was the most shocked by it, and I was a young girl. I was probably 12.
Yeah.
And our neighbor boy was 15. 16 years old, and I came down into our basement because he hung out with my brother quite a bit.
Come on, this isn't a Me Too show.
No, it's not. But I just came down. They called me down, and I come downstairs, and I remember he had these gym shorts on.
This was fun for a second. That's horrible.
No, but he was a kid too, and I was like 12, and he had like these red gym shorts on, and he goes, "Hey, Heidi, come here." And I go into the back room, and he just pulls him down really quick, like a quick flash, and I just remember just seeing a mat, like so much hair. But I remember as a kid going, whoa!
Do it again.
Because I was obsessed with pubic hair as a kid.
So you had a basement?
Because I didn't have any.
Whoa!
Sadly, I don't think I've really seen anyone naked, but I've been the one who's been seen naked.
Oh, no.
And I think some of you heard this story years ago. The house where I just moved back. It's terrible. And there's probably photos of me out there floating around. Frank, you've seen in my house. I think you too as well, Heidi. But I know, Frank, we've talked about this. My house has a bathroom that faces the windows.
Right. Oh, right.
No. That's a bad... His house has a bathroom that's in a greenhouse.
Sort of.
I mean,
yeah.
The walls are windows.
It's wall to glass. It's a glass house.
Yeah, it's pretty much a glass house.
So when you're sitting on the toilet, well, you're in the bathroom anywhere, but you're on the toilet, you're sitting there, and there's a big, huge wall to floor-to-ceiling window right next to
it's
you.
It's almost like you're pooping outside. It's kind of nice.
Uh-huh. It is. Now, if there's plants out there that have grown tall enough, you're concealed. But this time, the plants weren't there. I hadn't planted them yet, and I just put it to the house. So I'm sitting there. I'd used the bathroom several times, and I saw a shadow sort of go across the bathroom. Where'd that shadow come from? Is it a ghost? And I looked around. A couple nights later, I saw it again.
Fine. Saw a shadow at night from outside? My God.
I know, there's like a something. Oh, some
must be a ghost.
I know. After three or four times, I got to look around, and I realized, sitting on the toilet, looking out the window, the neighbor's house is elevated about 4 or 5 feet above mine. And there's a brick wall. There's a section of brick. A brick had been taken.
That one brick. I remember that.
Remember the brick was missing? And that one brick, and only that one brick, was positioned perfectly so you could see me on the toilet. It's like Stonehenge on the solstice where the light peeks through that rock.
It really was a brick ass house.
And the guy who lived next to me was a photographer, a well-known photographer, who must have removed that brick to be able to see next door.
Well, actually, he could see into your whole bathroom, as I recall. There was like
But this, it was
the greenhouse windows also include the bathtub and the shower. So basically, they just watched you shower for years.
So weirdly, who knows, I've been seen by the... I think that was him walking by that opening, and that was his shadow floating across my head.
Does he still live there?
Yeah, he is.
My God. He didn't move after that?
He's still there.
They got to move.
See, that's the only way... The only way that shadow would come from the lights on his patio passing that brick.
Right.
That'd be him looking through that hole.
Ew.
Ah! All right, we got Macy on the phone. Macy, tell us about your unexpected nudity that you witnessed.
Hello?
Hello, Macy.
Good morning. How are you, Frosty and Frank?
Morning.
Okay, so I was having lunch with my husband and my children, and this lady walked up to the window and just full-on pulls her pants down, takes her shirt off, and just mushed herself up against the window. I was so livid. I chased her outside of the restaurant. I ran outside of the restaurant. I chased her, like, halfway down the street.
So she just pressed her breast against the window?
In front.
And no, everything. Everything. Vagina, everything.
Vagina.
Everything.
My God, that's a good day at Applebee's.
Did your kids say anything?
Look at that blooming onion, Mommy.
That is a big bug.
I was just eating my
kids. Your phone sucks. Yeah, yeah. I can't.
Unfortunately.
Can't take it. But thank you so much for the story.
A pleasing voice.
I know. I'm like, why are you asking her more questions?
I'm sorry. It's not often I get to talk to a pair of squeaking brakes.
All right. We got Scott on line one. Hello, Scott.
Hey, dude. How's it going?
Tell us about your unexpected witness of nudity.
Yeah, I walked into a restroom at In-N-Out Burger, and the stall door was open, and there was this guy sitting there, and he was going to town pretty good on himself.
Doing a monster style.
Yeah, and he looked up at me and paused for just a moment, and then he put his head back down and went right back to work.
You want to make sure you were looking.
Yeah, unbothered.
Yeah. Oh well, I wasn't sure if it was that or if he just decided whether he wanted to continue or not, but he decided he did. So.
All right. All right, Scott. You stay on hold on the I Saw Somebody Naked face off.
All right.
Stay on hold. You're going to go up against Summer. Hello, Summer.
Good morning.
Tell us about what you witnessed.
All right. So, long-time listener, first-time caller. And so, it was my very first job right out of high school. I worked seasonal at Party City. I had to watch the changing stalls to make sure that nobody was going to steal anything. So just crappy plywood and a piece of sheet for at the changing room. Well, this older gentleman, he wanted to try on some ponchos. So and he had been there for a very long time. I'm like, huh, that's kind of weird. You don't really need a change room for ponchos. But people are not here. I didn't think about it. So he was in there, and I was like, wow, this is really taking a long time. Well, he didn't close the curtain all the way, so I took a sneak peek to see if, like, what's taking so long. Well, let's just say he was also vigorously taking care of himself.
Wow. All right, Summer, you stay on hold.
I didn't know they had changing rooms at Party City at all.
I didn't. I just buy it, and if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, I just go, eh, I guess it doesn't work.
So you got that sweater?
And you know what? I kept it. It works. Party City. That's right.
Group business on the arms and the neck, party on the cleavage.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
We'll take a picture of that and post that. Party City sweatshirt. Hello, Parker.
Hey, how are you?
Let's hear your story about unexpected nudity.
All right. So I work as a plumber. And
yeah, we saw your ass crack. Yeah, we know the story.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Megan. Hello, Megan.
Hello.
It was a bad phone call as well.
Yeah. You should team up with that screaming.
Megan, yes. Hello.
Hi.
Tell us about what you saw.
Okay, so I'm a maid, and there's this customer of mine. She looks like a Snooki, kind of. And she just had a tummy tuck and some boob job done. And I'm cleaning on my knees. And she walks up to me, puts her hand on top of my head, and just takes off all the clothes.
And then what happened?
Oh. I'm just like... I say nothing, absolutely nothing. About 10 minutes of her walking around, her boyfriend walks in and just picks her up and just disappears for a while. And
he gives it to her for a while? Is that what you said?
I'm not sure. I hope so. Obviously, she was looking.
Well, you're the cleaning lady. You know we did or not.
Wait, he carried her back into like a bedroom, and then they stayed back there, and you assumed he was giving it to her?
Yeah, it's a 3-story house, and I was on the top story when she came like up to the office out of nowhere. There's no clothes up there.
Right.
I just got butt-ass naked. I just started walking around.
You're on your knees, cleaning upstairs. Yeah. She grabs the top of your head and takes off all of her clothes. Then what happened?
Like, just starts walking around.
She just started walking around. Like, shut up, man.
She's trying to give us the tips.
I swear to God. I'm like, what the f*** is about to
okay, language.
That is what you'd say, though.
Sorry, man. That is what you'd say.
I mean, you'd be like, I don't.
What the f*** is going to happen now?
It sounds like a story with no big payoff with you, and you expect great things.
I feel like
nothing.
She's leaving something out.
You think?
Mm-hmm. All right. D's been on hold a while. Hello, D.
Hi. My story is my girlfriend and I were filming on set downtown, and we were at Joe's parking lot, so we went in to smoke a little while we had our break, and all of a sudden we're walking back to set, and we see this naked guy walking around, coming up to the fence, and my girlfriend kept laughing, and I'm like, hey, cuckoo. Get some clothes on. So then he was antagonized by us. He comes up to the fence and starts standing there swinging his
language.
I mean, sorry. That's what you.
That's what,
he was doing.
He was swinging it all the way around.
By the way, when's the last time you called someone cuckoo?
Hey, cuckoo, put on some clothes. Actually, it reminds me, I saw a naked guy over there on Topanga Canyon. Well, it was actually right there by the Westfield Shopping Center. They have that outdoor mall that's brand new and everything. And, this dude just walking across, you know, it wasn't jaywalking. He was in the walkway of the, crossing the street, naked as hell.
Was he an older, middle-aged, like hippie-ish nudist?
No.
No?
It was like, maybe, guy, maybe early 30s, black dude. All he had on was a backpack.
I think I remember you. I think you sent me that. I think you sent me the video.
I took a picture of that.
I think you have it on your phone?
That's him!
Yeah.
That's him!
As you were talking about it, I'm like, I think you sent me that.
I took the video, sent it to Heidi. Yeah,
his shoes on. He's like, take
where
that
are
thing.
You?
I'm like, what the hell's in your backpack? Put it on! We can't even post that, can we?
I don't think so.
You can't post
no,
that video?
Not a pixel or
oh, for VIPs only?
Mm.
For VIPs only, they can see that video,
that
right?
Is just fantastic.
Figure it out, Johnny. Johnny can do it.
All right. I will forward it to you, Johnny.
The benefits of being a VIP.
Just blurry out his face. And
technically,
his
he wasn't naked because he has shoes on. He's got these gleaming white sports shoes on. Well,
I'm surprised he wasn't arrested. Mm. All right, let's go to Cody. Hello, Cody.
How's it going?
Tell us about the time you saw somebody naked unexpectedly.
I saw my stepsister naked one time.
Yeah.
Before my parents got married,
yeah.
I was staying at their house and I woke up to go to school and she's walking out of the bathroom to go to her room, just butt ass naked, no towel or nothing.
Is she older than you?
Yeah, she's like 6 years older than me.
Did she know that you could see her? Was she doing it on purpose?
I don't think so. Because, like, I was sleeping on the couch and I, like, got up to go to the bathroom and, like, we kind of looked at each other and she went in her room and, like, never spoke of it again.
No, so she wasn't trying to tease you?
Hope not.
Why, is she ugly?
I was picturing Marsha Brady and, like, Peter Brady at the like, moment.
Yeah, she's ugly. All right, Cody, you stay on hold in the I saw somebody naked face off.
That wasn't the most exciting story for me for some reason.
It really wasn't, but for some reason I liked it. Yeah. All right, so we got Scott saw a guy pleasuring himself at the In-N-Out Burger bathroom stall. Remember that?
Oh,
looked
right.
up, saw him, and then kept going.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Summer, man was taking care of himself in the changing room, Party City.
Oh, I like that. The poncho guy. Yeah, right.
And let's see. Cody saw his stepsister getting naked out of the shower, and she's ugly.
I think the poncho guy, you have to take a lot of work in a poncho because it's going to be in the way.
And the fact that he did that, like, you don't. need, like she said, you don't need a dressing room for a poncho anyway. You
and throw it's Party it all City, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Any story that happens there gets a point.
So you guys are going Party City?
I like Summer Story about the poncho guy. Yeah.
What are you going with, Lisa?
Yeah, I think Party City, because what is happening in Party City that he is so excited about?
This really is a party.
Have you seen the balloons?
Sammy, Party City? You going Party City?
I am. Yeah, because Party City doesn't even have real changing rooms.
That's what they she said.
Yes,
yeah,
set
plywood.
Up these random things
plywood
at Halloween
cheap.
Time.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen anybody unexpectedly naked?
Yeah, I mean, what I was thinking of was that video that you guys all saw. We passed it around, so yeah.
We were like, that is so random. Just a guy in a crosswalk.
All right, Summer. Summer's going to win. Hello, Summer. You won.
It's a good one.
Thank you.
You
that was
are.
First job, too.
You what?
That was her first job.
That was my very first job. Job, too. All right, awesome. Thank you, guys.
Go get a rub down.
Have a good day.
From a guy in a poncho. Stay at home. We will hook you up. So what's going on in the world?
News of the day is being brought to you by United Airlines. Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Mike Thompson RV is on the road. Josh is now on the westbound 10. He transitioned from the South 57 to the westbound side of the San Bernardino. Now heading all the way across through the East LA interchange back onto the westbound Santa Monica Freeway. To Culver City thinks he'll be on the road for about another hour, so that gives you lots of time to spot him, take a picture, hashtag it FHF show, and post it for your chance to win a prize. The prize this week, a pair of tickets to the second annual KLOS Sabroso Festival with The Offspring. I know this is shocking, but sometimes news anchors have trouble saying things correctly. For instance, not talking about me, talking about a news anchor in Utah who was doing a story about the new Fitbit Versa watch. Here's what she said.
But the Versa also offers a Fitbit coat. Oh, oops. Fitbit. I mean, again, I said it again. Oh, my gosh. Fitbit coat.
You got it. We knew what you meant.
Okay, sorry.
Happens to everyone. On American Idol earlier this week, Katy Perry kissed a boy. His name is Benjamin Glaze. He's 19. Here's what he told the judges.
Have you kissed a girl and liked it?
No, I've never been in a relationship.
Really?
I can't kiss a girl without being in a relationship.
Come here, Benjamin.
Come here.
Come here right now.
Come here right now. What, on the cheek?
Mm-hmm. He didn't even make the smush sound.
Right, let me start over.
Oh! Oh, it went down! Did you get it?
Was it on the cheek? Nope, it was on the lips. He kind of fell backward in shock and later told the New York Times that he was a little uncomfortable and he wanted to save his first kiss for his first relationship. If Katie had said, "Would you kiss me?" he would have said no. By the way, he did not make it to the next round. So all in all, not a good day for him. Across the country yesterday, high school students staged protest against gun violence. Some places, students walked out of school and others. They had school activities scheduled to include discussions about gun violence and what could be done. At Granada Hills Charter High School here in Southern California, students walked out of class onto the football field and then laid down to spell out hashtag enough. Here's one of the kids talking to a reporter.
This is Ben Ramirez. He's a senior here. You just turned 18 yesterday.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
How has what happened in Parkland, how is that impacting you now as a young adult? Does it make you feel like there's something you can do here?
They've been so inspiring and it makes us want to go out and vote the way we want to vote and make this the country that we want to live in and not the way the adults have governed so far.
You're so far away from Florida here in Los Angeles County. How did the students here come up and decide that they wanted to be a part of this?
Well, we've had enough of all of this going on, and having the Parkland kids be so inspiring and make their voice heard across this country and made us want to get involved at our local level and change our country from the inside out.
United Airlines had another dog incident yesterday. News broke that a 10-month-old French bulldog died after a flight attendant insisted that it be put into the luggage bin when the family was having trouble getting the carrier to fit under the seat. Now we're hearing about a dog that was supposed to be flown to Missouri, but instead was flown to Japan. The owner went to the airport to get her dog, a German Shepherd, and they said, here's your beautiful Great Dane. Here she is talking about her reaction.
I instantly burst into tears, just wondering where my dog was. I was confused, upset, and just in utter shock that this was not my dog.
United says they are flying the dog from Japan to Missouri in first class. From the City of Angels to Lion City, United Airlines now offers daily nonstop service from LAX to Singapore on the Boeing 787 Dreamliner. For more information and to book, visit united.com. It's 8:55. That's news of the day. I'm Lisa May.
Live from the Morongo Casino Studios, it's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Los Angeles.
The age that you have the best sex in your life. There is a specific age. It's not even a range. It's not a decade of your existence. It's 1 year. The best sex of your life.
Okay.
It came pretty easy to me.
Well, that's why it was the best
year. That's right. I am going to say at 33.
Why was that the number that popped in your head?
I was probably the best shape of my life at 33. You remember that video I did? And this was back in 2006. Me in Mexico. Turquoise bikini.
I remember the turquoise. I remember the white bikini you had in Hawaii, though, too. That was a stunner.
Interesting contours on that one.
It looks like you had some best sex of your life that in that white bikini.
That was good, too. That was about 2005. So around that area, around that time.
Same time.
Like about, within that year period of time. Pretty great. But that's not on anybody but me, because I was in great shape, so I was feeling better about myself, so I was more... let's do it. I felt sexy, so I felt.
So
like
you were instigating more and things like that. So
yeah.
you were very open because you didn't mind being naked and.
Oh yeah, just free and comfortable because my stomach is all flat. I'm like, walking around.
Don't you want some of this?
Yeah. Right.
Was your love affair new? You still had, was it within the first,
2 years
or so. Okay, there you go.
Uh-huh.
So everything came together, the perfect storm, so
perfect,
to speak.
Perfect.
And how old were you again, about?
33.
Okay.
Yeah.
Frank, I was going to guess 27.
Why was that your guess?
Your best year?
I just think it's for, maybe, but I'm thinking in your late 20s as a guy, you're grown up, you're no longer dealing with the stupid stuff you deal with when you're young as a teenager in college.
And maybe you've learned how to use your tool, your
right.
weapon.
Right, I learned how to use
experience.
My
tool.
You kind of know things within. You know who you are and what you like, what you don't like, and you're probably in decent shape, most of you anyway, still in your 20s. And you're mature now, so you don't waste time with silly, stupid games and psychos. Now, I don't think at 47, 57, you're going to have the energy and stamina you had at 27. So I think all those things point to late 20s. So I'd say 27.
Okay. Are either of us right?
You said 33 and Frosty said 27. No, you're both wrong.
Damn it.
And you're both low.
Low.
Mark also said 27. Mark, why do you think 27 was the age where you have the best sex of your life?
Well, I think 27 was when it finally, everything started clicking for me. And I got so many compliments. I started getting all of these older women, and they loved it. They kept coming back because I think I figured out that you have to please a woman.
So cougars, you're talking.
The cougars, yes. The young girls don't like me at 27.
Yeah, young girls don't like
me.
Being satisfied sexually. Just the old girls.
The thing with 27, he can still get college age chicks. He can get chicks in 30s. 40.
Mm-hmm.
You get 20 years of women you're interested in.
He's saying that he had several older women who I think taught you about sex and taught you how to satisfy a woman. You had no idea what you were doing. So the best sex you ever had is when you learned how to do it at 27.
Maybe that's it. You might be right.
That's true, because I don't think a younger woman is necessarily confident enough to tell a guy.
Maybe she doesn't even know.
Right. Like, I don't know, whatever, I guess it's good. But an older woman's like, no. Come here. Right here. Put it here. Do this. We're a little more confident. Yeah. Like, there you go.
The problem there is an older woman pointing with her big bony witch knuckles.
Well, you're not going that
right here. Right there.
It's not the Hansel and Gretel witch, my God.
Yeah, it is. She built a gingerbread house around her cooter.
Eat the house. Eat it.
There's a butterscotch candy in there for
you. Somewhere in there. It's deep in there. Go get it.
All right. Lisa May, age when you have the best sex of your life.
I have a question. Wouldn't it be different for men and women?
Oh,
I was supposing that, Lisa. I was.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. Well, I can just throw this away.
Because I think men, for men, it's a lot younger. For women, yes. I'm going to go with 42 because I'm thinking, you know, starter marriage done.
Mm-hmm.
It got through that.
Right.
You kind of figured out your stuff. And now you're out and dating and meeting people and figuring out who can figure out your stuff.
And biologically, don't women peak at about that age sexually?
Yeah, somewhere
like late
in their
30s, early 40s?
And I guess you have to be a certain age to even answer this question.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. That's true.
I guess at 21.
You have to ask people in their 50s and 60s because they
look
lived
back.
A sexual life and go, wow, looking back, my 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. When was the best age I had sex? Turns out, it's 46.
46?
All right.
46.
Say what?
I'm 46 right now. I beg to differ.
How's it going?
Oh, my God.
I think that might be for women, and for men, it's like 22.
I think for men, when we think the best sex we ever had is when our refractory period is non-existent, where it's just like we can go,
we'll
and
go
then,
again.
Then we can go again
right.
and go again.
Yeah.
We talked about trying to set our own personal record for how many times you're going to have sex in one single day. You're not doing that at 46.
No. You're We're like, not letting you.
Exactly.
Be like, you got it, now go on. I got a scandal starting.
Exactly.
Yeah. For women, I think it's getting to that point where you stop being so self-conscious about what the hell's going on.
You're like, listen, this is a belly roll. You want it or not.
Yeah.
I don't care. Whatever. Yeah. You can get
I got a jelly roll, you got a yeah. belly roll.
Put it right in the belly roll. I don't even care. You're not gonna if my belly button's attractive to you, just go ahead and do that. It's another option.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. Opening things up.
I have a somewhat sad theorem or... possible reason for saying it's in the 40s. Maybe that's when you finally find love. Not just sex, but love and romance. Just slow down. You take your time.
Oh, God.
I mean, if, you know, there's something to be said for being romantic and slow and put on the Barry White album. And
no, I think if you have to do that, that means the sex is awful.
No, because maybe
no, but sometimes
love
young people want to just jackhammer it.
Yeah.
And nobody's looking for that. Not,
so
not really.
You get more of it at 27.
Really.
Was it the quality you're going
to
get at 46?
I don't
know too many women that just want to be jackhammered.
You know, you've never been to the right construction site.
I like that slow oil drilling thing. That thing where I watch that and I'm like, oh my God, what, look at that. And
the drill. Oil wells?
Oh,
look at that.
You get not just like. Oh. No, I want that oil.
I'm going to come drink your milkshake.
It does bring all the boys to the yard. And they're like, it's better than yours.
All right, like, would you say the best sex you're having is with your current partner right now?
Yes, absolutely.
That's it. Let's see.
Well, if there's a survey, their partner's probably standing right there when they ask them. So at least the results may be skewed.
Well, it's 50-50. So the other partner say no?
Do they answer in high voice? No!
Totally. Well, obviously, your soulmate's not listening today. So best sex you ever has with the current.
Yes. Totally open. No
But you thought you had good sex before you met her, right?
No.
Oh, you never had good sex in your life?
No, I did with a few, but not in the previous. No.
I'm not talking about the previous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just talking about... As your sexual career went, you probably thought that you had some good sex, but you had no idea what you were missing until you met this person.
Yeah, correct. Where I was like, oh, okay. This is
what
good.
Was so different about
it? I could do this for a long time.
Was it the Barry White album that was put on?
No. I'm not even really, honestly, a big... I don't like to have music on unless there's no words. Because I can't help singing, you know. You're with me every day here. And I don't know one's looking for me singing. So I don't like music with words if we're doing it. Because I'm going, let's get it on. Yeah.
That's not Barry White.
Or I know it's Marvin Gaye.
That's Marvin Gaye. It's Barry White.
Right.
Come on,
let's hear
it.
I can sing to this.
Can't get enough of your love, baby.
I can't help but sing it. And that's not sexy.
Yeah.
So, no music for me. Just
lift
nice.
Your leg on your back and you're kicking your legs up in the air. Do a little routine, then maybe.
Is it, Heidi, now you're both into it? Maybe in the past it was more one-sided? Not to be old. Critical and mean.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Yeah, look at all the relationships most people have during their life, and all those weren't mutual. And the ones that finally are mutual are going to mean more to you.
Right.
Because you weren't the only one who was into it.
But
right?
I also think, you know, if you're spending a lot of years with somebody and you want to keep it fresh, that, and I think for the first time in my life, it's like, anything, we're kind of up for whatever.
Anything goes now.
Anything goes. Don't get him started.
Why? What's that even mean? Oh, I can't say anything.
You missed it, Frank. There was a new game I introduced.
Don't say it. Don't say it again for sure.
We're not doing the game, but there's a new game. It had a theme song and everything. Guess what it was called?
Well, I'm sure it did.
It was called Anything Goes. We're not doing it, but.
Don't
when are you on vacation?
Don't scare the audience. But,
well, I'm in 2 more weeks.
Okay, well, anything goes.
I'm
2 weeks.
Some vacation again, so I'm sure you're going to do all your games again.
But,
well, anything goes.
Yeah.
Anything goes.
That's pretty much my sex life. Can I use that theme? Can I take that home? Eric, can you put that on a CD or something?
Didn't like words.
Yeah, well, she wants to try something crazy, and she can just pull that. Remember when you said this? Anything goes.
All of a sudden, I'm putting on Barry White and kicking my legs behind my head.
You ever been having good sex and something horrible happened? And you're like, oh, this is great.
Well,
and
then, I mean, I thought I had leukemia for the first 2 years of our relationship. Yeah.
Leukemia?
Or I was becoming a hemophiliac or something.
What was happening? That you thought you had leukemia. And it was just good sex. I'm lost.
I was, how am I going to put this?
Yeah, good
I
luck.
Was so into it and so rambunctious that I would get bloody noses.
Okay, I understand.
Okay, like a pig hunting for truffles.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And I would hurt myself.
Got it.
I can't imagine that being good for her. Let me smash my face on your junk till my face bleeds. I'm good at this.
You're the original Smash Mouth.
You like this, honey? Smash, smash, smash.
No, it wasn't a repeated smashing. It was like a steady just.
A steady just.
I don't know. But I would go in the
bathroom.
You're
trying to rebirth yourself? Oh my God, she's breech. Grab her feet.
Was there maybe a toxic odor that burned your nasal passages and the blood?
No, it was all delightful. But I would go into the bathroom and I would be like, oh my God, what is wrong with me? Like,
you're bleeding.
Yeah, bleeding.
My God.
Hey now, you're an all star.
So is that you still to this day, you go all out like that? Or have you scaled it back a couple?
I've scaled it
back. Okay, no more of those days, huh?
Right.
Do you miss those days, Heidi, when, you know, balls to the wall?
There are no balls involved. No balls.
Yeah, her girl knows it's going to be a pleasant evening when Heidi comes in and her nose is already packed with gauze.
I look like I just had
it's
rhinoplasty.
It's on tonight. Oh, yeah, she's like, okay.
I'm pre-gaming. A couple tams, slender tampons in there.
Slenders. Have you seen your nostrils?
Nice nostrils.
Danny Glover points and laughs.
Oh, I'm getting too old for this.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Is it weird a while ago you were worried about rose petals being crushed and stained in the sheets? Now you're bleeding all over with your nose, and that's fine?
I wouldn't have cared back in the day, and now I'm like, oh, I just had that cleaned up.
Speaking of good things gone bad, Eric showed me a couple of stories that he pulled yesterday. This is about, you thought it was the best thing in the world, and all of a sudden this turns and becomes the most horrible thing. A guy in England, he bought a rare Ferrari for $288,000 last week. Then he took it out on the freeway to see what it could do. Well, of course, you have a Ferrari, a 430. And there's only about 500 of these that were ever made, ever. So this is pretty much a collector's item. I wouldn't even drive it on the street.
No.
But he wanted to see if it really could go 0 to 60 in 3.6 seconds and top out at 198 miles an hour.
Yikes.
God.
Yep, it did. And then he hit something and made the car catch fire and fly through the air and wound up totaling the car.
Oh, no.
How long did he have it?
I think less than a week.
Totaled it.
He's okay.
Dumbass.
He's wound up with some cuts and bruises, but his new Ferrari was completely destroyed. Did I say a week?
Yeah.
No. This was 1 hour after he bought it.
An hour?
Drives it off the lot.
So his first time driving and he
probably had it delivered on a flatbed
to
his house, and then he decided to go drive it.
Oh, no.
And wrecked it. Totaled it. Gone. History. Good, gone bad. Here's another one.
I wonder if he's with Liberty Mutual so his insurance rates don't go up, because they excuse the first accident.
Really? $288,000 Ferrari? They got to put a little asterisk next to that.
Well, excuse it, unless it's a Ferrari.
Ridiculous.
Another good gone bad. If you have a story you'd like to share, 1-800-955-5567 is the number. A man and two women were having a threesome. Good.
Uh-huh.
On an apartment balcony. Oh. And one of the women fell off because of a bad position choice.
Must have been rambunctious.
she broke her legs, and when the other woman ran down to help her, she slipped and broke bones in her arms and neck. So,
Oh, my God.
Oh.
One woman broke both of her legs, the other one broke her arms and her neck. Do you stop?
Because
now you guys can get in any position I want you to.
Yeah, you're very bendy.
If you're in the jellyfish.
Very bendy. Oh, my God.
Jesus.
Good gone bad. 1-800-955-5567. You like birthday cake?
I'm not really a birthday cake guy.
Really?
Not really.
How can you not like birthday cake? It's the ultimate.
Here's what I always hate when you're at a party or something, and you know, like, I have to be in the mood for sweet. I'm not really a sweet person, girl. I don't like sweets that much. And so you're drinking wine or beer or whatever, and they're like, we're bringing out dessert. And I'm like, I'm not ready. Like, I'm drinking beer or wine. I'm not ready for that particular.
You've got to wait till the bottle of wine is done before you eat a whole gallon of mint chocolate chip. Is that what you're
correct.
Saying?
I'm okay, not eating, okay. I'm not eating and drinking at the
you
same
time. You want
to
space them out. You don't want to make layers of the stuff.
So just,
But birthday cake, at any time the cake comes out, if you should be in the mood to eat it.
You ever passed out a piece of birthday cake?
Only once. And Eric was there. So he witnesses. Do you remember the time I passed it up?
Was it your own birthday cake?
No, it was someone else's. I was at Eric's at a party years and years ago. And someone's birthday, one of the roommates or something?
Yeah, that was my roommate's birthday.
Right. And this place is packed. And then Eric had a lot of people there.
Uh-huh.
It's like 60, 80, 100 people. It was a big, huge party. And Eric whispers to me when they brought this big cake out. The candidate goes, watch, no one's going to eat the cake. Not a person will take a bite. I thought that was weird because it was a big, huge, massive sheet cake. I'm like, why? He goes, because these are all up-and-coming actors and actresses, and everybody's watching their weight. He says, watch what's going to happen. He's going to blow the candles out. Everyone's going to go, yay. He's going to cut the first piece, walk off, and no one's going to take a bite. And sure enough, no one took a bite.
Was that torture
the whole
for you?
Night I'm walking by this beautiful cake, and I wanted a piece so bad.
Well, I'm sure they would have expected you to have a piece.
But you can't, if the birthday boy doesn't eat, nobody. You can't eat till the birthday kid eats.
Yeah,
then,
right.
The birthday kid didn't eat a piece of his own cake?
No, he just cut it and then walked away from it.
Can't take a bite.
So the cake was still all whole.
Oh.
So nobody ate the cake. That's the only time I've not eaten the birthday cake.
Because you were just trying to be like, all right, assimilate.
I wouldn't have eaten that birthday cake either. Not because I was watching my weight, but because of something you said in the story. Now, I would eat birthday cake here at work. Because Eric had a birthday recently, and they brought in a birthday cake, and the sales staff and management came in, and everybody's saying happy birthday, and then they left it in the dining area, a little kitchenette in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Shovel had a birthday on Jonesy's show. And we all walked in there, and we all sang happy birthday to Shovel, like two or three days before yours, Eric. And he had a cake. And he's like, oh, thanks a lot. And we set it out there in the little kitchenette area, and people ate it. Now, I would eat those cakes. What's the difference between those two cakes I talked about and the cakes that Frosty talked about?
Know.
What can it be?
He said something in his story that happened, and I said, and something didn't happen in my stories.
Oh, I think I know.
My friends were up-and-coming actors.
Nope. What was it?
I think that blowing out candles.
Right.
Right.
At Frosty's party, or at Eric's party, his buddy blew out his candles and nobody ate the cake. The cakes here at work, they didn't bother to put candles on them. And nobody could blow them out.
Okay.
So I would eat those. Because you know how much. Good gone bad.
This is a
good cake. With no candles on it, is a good cake. When you put the candles on, you light it, and somebody goes, make a wish.
It is gross.
<It's your mind. laughs>
Good gone bad.
It really is.
You know how
disgusting.
Much bacteria ends up on that cake? Blowing out birthday candles leads to a 1,500% increase in bacteria on the cake.
Good point.
So gross.
What a stupid custom when you think about
it. And then when your kids do it and they haven't
really learned
how to blow. And they're
That's the average. In some cases, the amount of bacteria can increase 14,000% if someone's really spitty.
So let's stop with the... Don't put the candles on the cake. Put the candles on a side thing.
So Surf Boy Jeff Picture that petri dish and the bacteria come flying out of that mouth.
When's his birthday? Because I'm not coming to work.
Mr. Slobber Talk.
I think it's on, it's March something, 3:30.
Like watching Gallagher blow out his candles.
His spittle would put out the flames before the wind even gets there.
Oh, my God. It will look like the cake was left out in the rain.
Yeah, let's just get him like a four-day-old, you know, a four-day-old bakery cake. Let him moisten it himself.
His cakes are always moist.
Oh, it's such a weird tradition.
Eric, that
used
cake
used to be stale cornbread. Now it's his birthday cake after he blew it out. It's all nice and
completely
moist.
Completely iced.
Iced, too. Didn't have icing on it until he blew it out.
Eric, that party cake of yours or your buddy's 8-10 years ago, did anyone, at the end of the party, everyone left. Did you guys ever eat that cake?
Why are you so concerned with this cake?
It was a beautiful cake. I have thought of that cake many times.
Nobody
sometimes late at night going to sleep, I think of it.
Did you get a piece to go? Like sometimes when you leave a party, no. They're like, let me grab you a piece and we'll put some saran wrap or you take
it
home.
I made one of the last couple to leave the very end of the night and the cake was still there, virgin.
Why didn't you take it upon yourself to cut the cake, put it on individual paper plates and offer it to the people through the party? Would you like some cake? Would you like some cake? They all say no, and then you go take it to your car.
I know. I should.
And you end up with a whole cake pre-cut in your trunk.
Oh, woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Oh.
Think, man. Think.
Well, Eric told me nobody was interested in it because they're all trying to be skinny, so I didn't want to insult them.
Michelle has a good gone bad before we get the traffic. Hello, Michelle.
Hi. How's it going?
Tell us about your good gone bad.
Well, I had been married for 23 years, and my girlfriend, we separated, and my girlfriend took me out because I was pretty heartbroken. They said it's hooker high heel night. Wear your high heels. We went to a bar. There was a very handsome guy. I ended up out in his car, smoking weed with him and drinking, and went back in, drank some more, came back out to his car with him, and we started having sex, and all of a sudden, I got really dizzy and nauseous, and I had to get away from him, and I didn't know what to do, so I crawled away from him. I was like, I got to get out of here. And I crawled away from him, and I hung on his door. I didn't know at the time there's something called crossfaded. Apparently, I was crossfaded.
Yeah.
I hung on his door. I couldn't move, and he was begging me, like, please, please, get off my door. You know, your friends are going to kill me. Your friends are going to kill me. And my friends, like, they said they'd be out there in, like, 20 minutes. They didn't come for, like, I'd say 45. They finally came, got me off his door. I projectile vomited, peed myself, which I've never done. And, yeah, that was pretty embarrassing, and went home in a taxi cab wondering where my panties were. The next day I got a text from him telling me he had my panties. So, but the next three times we had sex, best sex of my life, he was wild. Broke my bed, out of control.
He saw you again after that night? Oh, good Lord. You must be.
He texted me the next day and told me he had my panties, and I threw my phone in my purse and stayed at Rutgers because I was so embarrassed. Yeah.
Of course, she's easy. He met her at the bar and had sex with her in his car an hour later. My God, of course you call that woman back. She's shameless. She's peed herself and she's still looking for her panties. You let those things go if you got any class. Oh, Michelle, I got to give you a prize.
Oh, I'm getting a prize.
Yeah. Wear those hooker heels.
All right, I'll do it.
There you go. You stay on hold, and we will hook you up.
But we're out of STD tests. Couldn't give one of those.
Huh.
My God. I'd like to apologize to everyone who listened to the whole show to win Sabroso tickets, because I waited till the very last minute. So if you are that person, be caller 20 right now, 1-800-955-5567, and you're going to Sabroso. You really have to listen to the whole show.
Sports on Tap. Southern California, 95.5 KLOS.
Well, it was a battle of mass units last night in Oakland. The Lakers without Kyle Kuzma and Brandon Ingram. The Warriors without Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. But when your mass unit is led by Kevin Durant, it makes things a little bit easier. The Warriors did everything possible to hand the game to the Lakers, turning the ball over 22 times. But the Lakers were a bit disjointed. Julius Randle did have 22, but he fouled out. Brook Lopez and IT also added 20 apiece. 117-106 the final. On the ice, the Ducks down the Canucks 3-0. They have 82 points now, tied with the Kings and the Avalanche. I'm Pete Fox at Sports on Tap on the Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS.